Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Lisiriso, Jesus, vandag kom Jesus by the earth to fat alles to heaven. And,
Jesus het hier, het aarde toe gekom om alles hemel toe te vat. Helmut, what are you saying?
Jesus.
Jesus. Yeah, so, kijk die dingen, die electronic ID.
I think we need the Prime Minister here to come and help Helmut. No, Helmut.
Yeah.
You'll have me in stitches before I can even help you.
Alright. So let's talk about, one of the, as for today, at least, I just came to realize that one of my favorite topics, at least for a couple of days until the hype fades, and that is electronic IDs.
Mm.
Yeah. So let's talk about the electronic IDs. So,
when do you want to start, Hamid? Today I've got my bad cop. The hat is not here, but
you know one thing. You know,
today I'm going to be bad cop today.
You know one thing. After I pointed out yesterday that digital ID and EID and all these things and all the confusions I had, and it was clarified by just looking up the information that's from the national broadcaster. If you have all these, if you're a visual person, you can just go to Crane. Basically, all the local medias, they've covered significantly that topic, because the rollout is set for September. Like every technology, one thing that the first thing that comes in my head is convenience.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's convenience, because if you have an EID, which is an electronic, basically, it's something that's basically going to operate in the same way that your banking card does.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has an it's basically coming with a mini computer, aka a microchip that has all the, biometric information.
Yeah.
You know how you walk around swiping? You are wondering at this point, what type of information that's on the chip on your card that's being read by the speed point device, and how is this information, how is the money moving from your account to this shop that you are doing your swiping in? It's that important.
No, it is super important.
For convenience wise, it is important.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Well, the convenience that
The convenience part.
That people were shouting for. I just don't remember which people.
Convenience? My favorite part so far has been Mark of the Beast. Now that is just awesome. So I'm just sitting here trying to wrap my mind around the whole concept. And this is just at the top of my head from the interpretation of the bunch of comments that I read on this whole assumption of what the EID is, which I hardly doubt that it is. Because, you have to understand that every time a new piece of technology comes out, you have skeptics going, oh my God, we are cooked. Must be a meme, but I read somewhere that math teachers at somewhere were protesting when a calculator first came out.
Look, Helmut, leave the calculators, because I know a lot of us...
Drawing a comparison of...
A lot of us will be embarrassed when you realize that your father, who didn't even reach high school, can calculate better than the calculator sitting in your pocket.
That's the thing.
I saw such an embarrassing thing, and my dad even beat the calculator, a scientific one, by an extra digit behind the comma.
Okay,
behind the decimal point.
That's actually the second thing that I have actually come to sort of like admire about our elders. I know a bunch of people that have all kinds of measuring pots and non-sticky pens and still cook crepe. But when you go to the village and just sit with your mom or your grandma and watch them cook without a single measuring spoon, and the food comes out delicious.
Without even
I must use another word, without even a recipe. They didn't read the recipe.
They are not measuring that salt, but they know.
No, but I actually, that also happened with me, Ahmed, because, okay, not to brag to any other unmarried women out there, I taught myself specifically from a favorite dish that my mom used to bake, oven-baked macaroni and cheese. All I did was remember the ingredients and what she did at every phase.
Yeah.
And that was just from memory. You can do it if you're trained and you observe, which I sometimes wonder, for us guys who love food, we never go and stand and look at how the thing is prepared.
I don't think I've made that time.
Do you know how many guys I know who don't know how to cook, but they want food? Then they go marry a woman. Just later on, yeah, she can cook. Just later on. But she also doesn't like the cooking. She also likes to eat.
Yeah.
And then the whole reason why they don't like each other anymore in their relationships is because the one just wants food served. The other one had to learn how to make the food and then serve the food. But both of them like eating the food.
I think I can name, there are three colleagues that we have here that have, that can cook. And one thing I learned from them and two others that I know that we are, let me just say two, three other ladies that I know that can cook is that, right? Those people, date one of those people and you realize how difficult it is to cook for those human beings. Because.
Have you tried cooking for them,
Elmer? Because they will just smell your food. It's like, you are just milligrams of salt left. Oh, come on.
Because they are specialists, Helmut.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's why you need to empower yourself
and
avoid such particular, what do they call that thing? Criticisms.
I've gone shopping for food. Shopping for food with my second wife. Not easy. She'll just be looking at everything, the first one. She'll be this one is, I don't like it. And she's, she goes deep into culinary lingo. And I'm like, at this point, I'm halfway through finishing mine. And she's complaining that the things, I feel like an idiot because I don't know what she's talking about because that food is delicious. So now that's them.
Dude,
I
just finished the lunch, don't worry.
So let's come back to Mark of the Beast and the Illuminati.
Yes, please let's start there. Let's start there. Please, because I want us to start there, Hamoud. Please, you can start with Mark of the Beast, Khudasha.
The good book has it that at some point the devil is going to go through nations' leaders and then cause them to pass laws that will, give some kind of identifying markers to those that are obedient. And those that are not obedient will not acquire those identifying markers, hence the mark of the beast. Now, those ones that will not accept those identifying markers will then not be allowed or will not be allowed to buy and sell. And then things will get even more, former general of the police, and Itunga's word, everything is gonna go chaotic, and then Jesus will come. I really tried to summarize it.
Yeah.
So, when the whole electronic ID came up, people just went straight to the good book, this must be happening. Now, at this point, the question that now, just on that, and the question I can't help but ask myself is, you have a banking card that basically have all that information. Commercial break.
Faro enene ko ShopRite pamwe no fandisa ina imonika nare OKG ne vet packaging tumbuya rumba kanithwa yo real good kodora esero mira ngheta tono ngoino sendo mira ngoino ngoi OKG omla ngo do sra wei pungwa champion kodora esero mira ngonta tunane no senda omira ngoino ngoi no biscuit wa bakers yet some more mo mi jota roka ma patrona no chocolate kodora mira ngombali no ngoino senda omira ngoino ngoi kamwe virikosi wo ngoi ga gusto nuvo kupitha o shiji mo we faro enene ko ShopRite kakere o tovro kusindana pamo shivu lepeta ta miliona moku hogorora oka pakete komo jira noka karata koma gano goko shu kena Shoprite landa ke shimu tashku sa ombing tu monoma roka slepa ko ye ko whatsapp ai tu hogorora oka pakete u taringere ongo ye omsindani oko Shoprite akoke.
ShopRite's birthday is in the major league with major low prices. Get 4kg real good IQF chicken mixed portions, only 189 Namibian dollars 99. 10kg champion super maize meal for 134 Namibian dollars 99. And 200 grams Baker's Eat Some More shortbread or chocolate biscuits, all variants, just 29 Namibian dollars 99 each. Valid until 9 August 2026. Get major savings with ShopRite's major league birthday. Plus, pick a box for a chance to win your share of over $500,000 Namibian dollars and weekly gift cards. Buy any three participating products. WhatsApp the code on your till slip and pick a box to see if you're a winner. Only at ShopRite.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Tune in to the home run.
Welcome back. So on this electronic IDs, I just pointed that first part out because it's the part that I find fascinating. Because if the goal, take for example, let's just use our wildest imagination. Let's assume the whole.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, it's the
wildest imagination. The thing is, if a government wanted to take away your rights to of movement or accessing certain services, both public and private, like shopping or any of the public institutions, for example, there are a lot of mechanisms that we have in place in terms of identification information. Your ID, the card that you have, that would be enough. But when it comes to making information biometric, I think the information that's going to be contained on your ID, compartmentalizing information, of compacting information, it's already on your banking card.
Yeah. It's already with Ministry of Home.
Yeah. Affairs. Yeah. You already have a card, a banking card that literally has a chip.
Yeah.
So this is basically, this is just, the central government basically, saying, okay, we are going to adopt the same type of technology that's predominantly used in banking for national identity.
Yep. And, if people look at this particular scenario, because look, I know there are some crazy comments, that came through from that engagement of the digital ID. Do you know what's the funny thing, Hamoud? When I, that day, when I looked at that engagement by Gran that was held at Arabushia here in the capital, the heading of the public engagement is known as public key infrastructure stakeholder engagement. So you would be sitting there going like, what public key infrastructure are we talking about? Until the CRAN CEO, Emilia Nikembwa, began with her particular address, and basically explaining why people are here. And then the core thing from that is then, digital ID. So this is where the Namibian discussion of the digital ID trend and development by Minister of Home Affairs is actually coming from. Now, I obviously now also went to re-educate myself, guys, because you learn every day.
Yeah.
Helmut mentioned it just a couple of days ago. Every time when we think, specifically here, like here on the home run, we think we reach a threshold of, okay, we've satisfied knowledge on a certain discussion. You find out you had no idea. You had no idea. Then there's a piece of legislation.
You didn't even scratch the surface.
Not even. You started at one law.
Yeah.
And then just the next law that flows from that law goes and gives you a whole completely different indication of life. And specifically how it regulates something, for example, on the ground. Now, there's a couple of things I like from this Electronic Transactions Act. This act of 2019. This one that primarily... that I kept calling the Bank of Namibia Act, to be honest, guys. I kept calling it so.
Yeah, may as well just call it that.
But we can call it the Bank of Namibia Act because primarily this thing protects digital payments and electronic transactions.
Yeah.
It has consumer protection elements in it. It has the identification of a specific registrar. No, sorry. I'm confusing with another law I read earlier. Sorry. It has the identification of CRAN as an authority in the act, as well as also it gives certain rights and powers, meaning when a buyer and a seller on a digital platform meet each other. So what are we talking about here? For example, they utilize a scenario in terms of if a buyer, meaning you, this can be anyone, but it could be you, the individual. If you are unhappy with a purchase you made digitally, ne, you have the right within a reasonable amount of time, which is stipulated in this act, to return the product, meaning it has a refund, it imposes a refund policy.
Yeah.
If said particular refund policy is not something that is already established between the seller of the product and you, the buyer, it might be, I immediately saw it, there might be a point of, you know, a bone of contention in this scenario, Helmut, and what many of the South African retailers have, their own refund policies. But the South African retailers, they will tell you, bring the thing back in the original condition that you received it in. So this means the receipt, the plastic bag, the you did not open up the product if it was sellotaped or closed, you know, in with certain particular security materials, like those sellotapes for electronics. And so on, and it is in its original packaging, and you didn't touch, open, or start using the thing. I know this because I have engaged in some return policies. Sometimes it's cash refund policies, and sometimes it's just about returning the particular thing because I realized I made a purchase mistake. And regret purchases do happen. We are human, nonetheless, guys. Remember this. Regret purchases do happen.
Yeah.
But I want to get into the, basically the understanding that then stepped from CRAN CEO Nikembwa's address, where she cited public key infrastructure and the digital IDs. And then I realized, okay, Helmut, we had this discussion already. This is actually data interoperability, because she mentioned client number one as part of this major exercise, this major digital transformation, is the Ministry of Home Affairs. And the Ministry of Home Affairs, guys, has a ton of data on us.
Yeah.
A ton.
Now that we are on the a ton of data, you want to know who you should worried about? You should be worried about when it comes to having access to your information.
Yeah,
the apps you use.
Basically, yes. This thing.
Every picture you take has contains something called metadata. The phone that you used to take that picture, the time that you took that picture, the place you took that picture from. If you have your geolocation turned on, all this information.
Yeah.
When you upload it on social media, that platform scripts all that information, process it for targeted advertising.
Yeah.
So, I think this is where digital literacy now is needed, because I feel like this is what we should be, you know, scared the most about. But this is the information that we seemingly voluntarily give away for free.
Yeah. The voluntary part, Herman, is because it's a key thing that, Nikembwa mentioned it's a trust system.
A trust system?
Yeah. There's a sentence she used here. Let me get that phrase. It's dependent upon...
Was that...
trusted public systems. Yeah. So, it's when you are born, you get a birth certificate. Your parents get recorded as your parents on your birth certificate.
Yeah.
Where you were born. Some cases, time of day when you were born. Date, definitely. And then it cascades from there. Because your parents are already in the system, specifically on the marriage certificate that they engaged in when you were born. That's why in many cases, if when some teenage pregnancies, when some young ladies who obviously do not get the proper support, but you know they obviously didn't get proper support before falling pregnant in certain scenarios, when they try to have concealed births or they try to commit baby dumping.
Mm-hmm.
Why the police always pursue them? Because firstly, a concealed birth is that you're trying to hide a new Namibian who has to get services, who needs services, and potentially you, as that young parent, you also would need and require services, which obviously shows once again to our OIS lithium mining discussion, miscommunication.
Mm-hmm.
People are not given the information to know. In the event of certain emergencies or certain particular predicaments, what they find themselves in, they don't know who to turn to, where to access, where to go. Another scenario, if you look at when it comes to the baby dumping,
yeah,
it basically, it then takes things into another dimension because you can see it's, you wish to kill another Namibian,
yeah,
because the baby was born.
Yeah, the law of persons dictates that when the baby is born and they're able to breathe on their own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it's a living person.
Yeah, the law will be like, all right, ID please, that's a Namibian. So whatever you do to them,
Namibian,
you're going to be held accountable.
Whether you're the mother or not, you'll definitely be accountable before...
For
attempted murder. That's the worst part.
I mean, it's the same thing that happens.
Whatever crime.
Yeah, you are a parent, right?
Yeah.
But you can't just beat your kids to a pulp just because you are a kid. Just because you are the parent.
Yeah. So, if we start off on that particular scenario on the trusted systems, and that's how I explain, that's how we develop this discussion in terms of what people need to understand about these digital IDs. Now, I have to give you a disclaimer, guys. My disclaimer is there's a point in our discussion today where I will become, put on my bad cop hat. It won't be now because we're still sort of like on the neutral platforms of this discussion.
Yeah, just, pointing out, this and this is, it's really not a big deal, it's not a big deal that we are making it out to be.
Yeah.
Because, if you're worried about, if you really, really, really value your privacy,
yeah,
you should, I don't think you'd have 1,000 apps in your phone.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because that's how you basically get exposed wherever you are, because you've got 10,000 apps.
Every app you have is collecting information on you.
Yeah.
And actually, this is one thing that I like about living in a democratic country, because you are being consulted on that.
Yeah.
At least OpenAI did not consult you. They just asked you to download ChatGPT and they took it from there.
Not just that. You heard from your classmate, oh, I'm using ChatGPT, and you decided, oh, I'm also using ChatGPT.
You downloaded the thing and now it's just harvesting information
and you forget to think sometimes. Yeah, wonderful stuff. So, that's why I said they forget to think sometimes. So, as you got to look at this, guys, it's a good development in my eyes. I'm already given a verdict,
mm-hmm,
but my verdict comes with a caveat. And we will get to that chapter of our discussion for today. Don't worry, guys.
No, we're going to get there.
We've got 3 hours. Don't worry.
Again, actually, we're 2 hours and 30 minutes.
We know how to do this. So, because the trusted systems already exist, Helmut.
Yeah.
The trusted systems was obviously now pointing back to that your opening, our introduction with the good book and some of the comment section on when that live stream that took place a couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
About, Mark of the Beast, Goeterse. I was even like, what's going on here? What are people doing? But the person has a smartphone.
Yeah. The irony, right?
The person has a Facebook account.
Yep. The five emails they probably forgot about.
That person logged in. They logged in, so they know. They know their account details. Yeah. So that person is tech savvy. That person probably has...
On the tech savvy, I'm going...
You know, it's questionable.
Yeah, very questionable.
No, but at least they meet basic requirements because they've got the account, they've got the digital device, they've got they have money to buy the internet bundles. They can engage on these digital platforms. So we need to ask the question now, literally, is this now the carrot calling the other carrots carrots for the sake of, you know, identifying
really? If our concern is unauthorized access to our information, look, don't get me wrong, CREN, MICT, Parliament, we really, there's cybersecurity and access to information.
Yeah.
You know, now the legislations, those are needed.
Yes.
But just on an ordinary citizen level, the fear that I don't want my personal information to be in the wrong hands. Say someone with 5 X accounts, 5 Facebook accounts, 3 emails, and a bunch of apps on their phone, and 3 cell phones. I don't think your information at this point is something that you should be worried about. Look, your information is important. You should be worried about it. But if you are going to talk about, to start being careful on how you share it, you have a lot of work to do. Unless you have already started doing that get yourself what phone is this? A Google Pixel, and instead of running, iOS or Android, you use a Graphene.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Graphene has sort of like a fail-safe type of pin built into the operating system, and it's last time I checked that that OS for mobile devices only runs on Google Pixel, and one American guy showed I'm not sure if that was an American or an English guy, but I found that one guy had a Google Pixel, mm-hmm. and was running Graphene OS on that Pixel, the border securities had suspicions over about the guy, so they pulled him in for questioning, and when they asked him to put in a pin to open the phone so that they can basically maybe use some, see if they can find some of the information that will help them with the investigation.
Yeah,
he gave them a pin. Now there are 2 pins that comes with the Graphene OS, especially if you set up the failsafe one. The thing is, when you put in the fail-safe one, it erases everything.
So it's like...
That's the one that the authorities were giving.
It's like a doomsday thing.
Exactly. It's basically a doomsday, a pin that erases everything. And... as you can imagine, the authorities were super pissed. Because all they had to do was just watch the whole thing getting erased, because once it's initiated, you can't stop it.
Mm.
So, on an individual level, on an ordinary citizen level, we use a lot of electronic devices that contain a lot of our biometric information. And this information is not stored in some cloud somewhere in the ionosphere. It's in someone's hard drive in Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully, this key infrastructure that Nikembo spoke about,
mm-hmm.
is most probably, I assume, at Ministry of Home Affairs.
That's also what I'm assuming, because this whole let's buy a Google storage somewhere. No.
Where someone can switch off the lights over there.
Yeah.
No.
Look, when it comes to digitizing things, the biggest question that comes up is. Who are you, how are you going to, this is what basically the GDPR is all about.
Mm.
How to acquire information, how to, you know, how to legally acquire information, legally process it, legally share it, and legally dispose of that information. You can't just go around, you know, throwing information. It's like the Minister of Home Affairs, for example, you know, just toasting, you know, all the, you know, the, you know,
all the ID, like, numbers,
ID numbers, scattering them everywhere.
Yeah.
That's not safe for people whose IDs that you are just, because a lot of people that can find all this information can use it for all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So the acquiring information, that's not, you know, that's not a problem.
Mm.
Now, we know that when it comes to banking cards, especially in the Western world and Western influenced economically countries, you have either Visa or MasterCard for the most part. And none of these are African. They are all American.
Yep.
So
those transactions go through the U.S. and then they come back out.
No. Thank you for starting that part of my, you know, dead cop part now.
Yeah.
So I don't mind having a, you know, an ID that has a computer chip. My question is, who's building the chip? Because I know we don't make those.
Yes. And remember, you have to ask the question of where. Look. If you think about the process in terms of how the ID is there, produced there when you go for your ID, how we used to, you know, see it being made.
Yeah.
The photo, your photo gets captured after you filled in a form.
Yeah.
You submit the form at one station in the ministry.
Yeah.
The official then tells you, sit down, let me capture a photo of you, a head and shoulders. You know, they call it the passport photo thing, but it's actually also ID photo size. Then it gets captured, and then depending on what kind of a you know, citizen you are of Namibia, you get your ID. Now, in some cases, obviously, the plastic thing, the card, will have that barcode automatically on. But you just need to put Dwight's details or Helmut's details on the code and on the barcode and basically make that barcode number specifically Helmut or specifically Dwight. Because the downside, obviously, has been if when we look at things like having a digital presence of such particular details, has been the fundamentals of cybersecurity, or the fundamentals of what's that other one's name? The data protection. No, fundamentals of cybersecurity and fundamentals of, like, protecting, you know, just yourself on a digital space.
Yeah,
don't share your personal details. Don't leave them anywhere obvious, like on devices or stuff like that. Even if it's a scanned copy of your ID or a PDF of your CV that has your details in it, you are advised in terms of the basics of cybersecurity for yourself. Your first is cybersecurity starts with you first.
Yeah.
Remember this, guys. Remember we did it with the Hunters International discussion.
Yeah.
And then what was Hunters International's particular main point they emphasized? How a cyber attack always happens. Social engineering. Social engineering is when you, the human, you click on a link, on a website, in a link, or in a file attached in the email that you believed it sits in your spam folder, but you thought it's actually a legitimate vendor selling to your organization something.
Yeah.
And that's how most of the things happen. Now, all of this usually starts with you. Now, when I reference the trusted public services, there are certain things already in the economy which is technically based upon our ecosystem as humans in Namibia that just functions because we have, like, a silent trust agreement with institutions and businesses. Helmut, you know, for the past how many years that you've, you know, worked here at Eagle FM, you know, when you show up or when your cab drops you off here at this taxi rank behind you, you know that this little shopping center here of Hidas is going to be open. Now, that is a built-in trust that you've developed.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be open. When it's a public holiday, you know it's going to have, you know, half day.
Or it's either going to be closed or they will only work until
lunchtime. Yeah. You know it because it's been communicated to you. You've heard it. You know about it. It's done. What you potentially don't know is, remember when you come here with your roasted peanuts that you buy at the street vendor, ladies?
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember that some days they have and some days they don't.
Yeah.
That is an unpredictability in the trust dimension between you and that vendor.
Yeah.
Because that lady doesn't tell you beforehand, Helmut, hey, the last little packet of peanuts was sold out right now. You come and unfortunately find out the moment you show up there.
Yeah.
So you find this out. But still, it's not a train smash because you know today is an exception. Tomorrow there might be. The stock might be adequate enough. Now let's advance this discussion in terms of the realm of collecting data about you, about us, the individuals. We've already, like I started from example, when you get born, we've already been in a position where we technically did not have rights, but rights were given to us as a newborn Namibian. You get registered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that first registration, you're going to be prepared for every stage of your life. You're going to need a doctor to help you as a baby in mm-hmm. terms of your development. Your parents will need certain particular, like psychosocial or other particular consultative support for you because you're a newborn. To help them.
They'll have to register you.
It's not just that. It's also the other things. It's also the other things associated to you as when you're still that jelly-like baby,
mm-hmm.
In your formative years specifically. Your mom would need support specifically about how to deal if you potentially have, that particular phase in the baby when the bones start solidifying.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the other scenario is technically they call it colic. When a baby, that's the time when the baby cries a lot. You might have seen some mothers, they sometimes massage the baby a lot. Like on the back, on the belly, sometimes. And sometimes on the legs, or they do this with the legs. Sometimes you've seen some mothers do this.
Yeah.
Because the mothers are coached already. There will come a time, 2 months, 3 months from the birth of the child will need to be, this will be a phase, and this will be a difficult phase. You and your husband might not sleep, you and your partner might not sleep because the child will be crying constantly, and that's as the bones are setting in the body.
Yeah.
Now, when that happens, Helmut, the mother will need support. Who does she go to? Now, back in the day, for example, because I remember a few flashes from it, not many of us would remember sometimes how you were treated or how your parents treated. But remember when you had to go to the public health services, you had that big yellow medical card thing.
Yeah.
Né? That technically every clinic had. Now, since I was born in the 80s, that was still pretty much analog and very non-digital, manual record keeping and service provision, basically. And these were scenarios that our parents had to walk around with a bunch of paperwork. It's you, the mom, it's with the baby. And then she has to go to the closest, at that stage, this is now late 80s. When did I start kindergarten? Was it 1989 or 1990? One of the two. But before then, I could remember specifically, because private hospitals didn't exist in Namibia, except for the Catholic hospital at that stage.
Yeah.
And the one in the Rehoboth, which is now like semi-public, semi-private. Because I know some of the administrative things are run by Ministry of Health, but because the government didn't build that facility, for example, that facility is somewhat still like in the direct involvement of the Catholic Church with a mission on the Rehoboth. Now, when you look at scenarios like this, back then things were excruciatingly manual. Excruciatingly, meaning the mom needed to have this medical card.
Yeah.
Now, let's say the mother had 5 kids. Now, it's the mother, and then each kid needs to have a card. Imagine all that paperwork. One of the obvious benefits, obviously, that Cran explained here was you do away with the fuss of these, tedious documentation that you've got a lagger on. But the thing is still, there's still documentation present.
Mm.
There's still a paper trail present. Now, I'm glad this public stakeholder engagement process cites, how people need to look at
a national thing going ahead specifically that starts from a central ministry that collects a whole bunch of data about the, that has a whole bunch of data about every Namibian. Where I am unhappy, and this is one of the phases, one of the cascading phases of my bad cop scenario for today,
mm-hmm.
is, remember, like I've mentioned before many times, this is the exact law that was used to throw out the 2008-2012 elections challenges brought by the political party at the time, RDP, on both presidential elections in both scenarios. The dimension from that was, were the bigger concerns at that stage back then was, and this is more than 10 years ago, the lack of a paper trail. You know, Helmut, in many cases, I couldn't understand, for example, for the better part that I've tried to understand and look back and reflect back on those two legal challenges was for transparency to be present, which in 2026, 2025, and even cascading back into President Geingob's two terms,
yeah.
which includes obviously 1 year where President Mpumba was also added, had obviously steered the ship for a period of time. If transparency is a concern and you wish to have to develop a trusted public system, a paper trail needs to be your final audit mechanism. Meaning, you can walk up to any invoicing system in any retail outlet in Namibia, a retail outlet, ne?
Yeah.
And if you have a candid conversation with the cashier will tell you, we get audited twice a year, once a year, at the end of our financial year, where the auditors come in and then they request all paper documentation. Yes, they will get a soft copy version of it. But it needs to be also produced in hard copy. Because if you submit an electronic version here, for record keeping purposes, you also have this here. Because what sometimes happens with digital systems, that there was a time, I know it has changed, obviously, because that was also one of your concerns, that it doesn't get stored somewhere on someone's server in Silicon Valley,
mm-hmm.
is that a scenario was that if you close over a year, let's say a year of commercial activity as a private enterprise, you close over a year, your financial year. Now you close off the year. Now you sit with all this data on your server or on your servers in your company. Now, in many cases, we forget. We forget, we move on with life, and you just continue creating new data and new information. But when you go think about it in hindsight and you sit down, you have a glass of wine or a beer, not advising that, guys.
But you can sit down tomorrow.
Yeah. Look at you, Albert. But when you sit down and you reflect on activities, and specifically on human activities,
yeah.
you realize, okay, so this data sits at the back. This data that you had to deal with, you created, and is there. How does a company in many scenarios, what do they do with that kind of data? If you go to e-banking of your private retail bank, Hamid, your bank will tell you your bank statement that we can supply you can only go back as far as 6 months. And then you ask yourself a discussion also of, okay, so what happened to the very first transaction I created with my bank account? If I've had my bank account for, like, example, in my case, my bank account is, how old is my bank account? Today it would be, yeah, this year it would be 23 years old, my bank account.
Jeez.
The same bank account with the same banking institution. 23 years old, my bank. They need to be giving me a bloody award for that.
Absolutely.
I need to be sporadically winning prizes. Just a hint, hint. It's the blue guys.
Yeah, like they have a bunch of guys that have been banking since, you know, apartheid South Africa.
Yeah. So when we look at a scenario like that, now,
yeah.
regarding the data that you create as a human. Now, I can assume from, and I'm saying this is an assumption, this is a an assumption. If you go and open up your online banking and your bank tells you they've been big and bold letters, if you want your a PDF version of your bank statement, and your bank tells you then big bold letters there on your online banking profile, we only keep data about your banking activity up to 6 months.
This time, yeah.
Now that obviously should tell you, okay, should I take down data every 6 months just to make sure that I've got like a digital record keeping of my activities? For example, if you do online banking for your landlord, like what I do, I pay my landlord an EFT, and then, you know, I have to make these download these PDFs. So when a dispute occurs, and say, hello, hello, he's too real. No, I won't do that. It usually takes me time to build up.
You're scaring your landlord.
That's if she listens to me. But yeah, so. No. It's just an example. Please, guys. I don't want notices tomorrow already.
Yeah.
So, when you look at this data that is collected.
Yeah.
Now, let's just jump over from a commercial activity, because in a commercial activity, Hamid, your bank can tell you, bruh, you guys are doing so much buying and selling, as consumers of bank accounts, it's impossible to store every single piece of data. That I can understand. I can understand it. Unless disputes happen, then you are in literally boiling water. If a dispute erupts and you need to access a transaction that you had 3 years ago related to this dispute, and your bank tells you, I only store 6 months worth of data so that you can print 6 months worth of data. Let's jump over to Ministry of Home Affairs. Ministry of Home Affairs' data can exist only up until the point about you when you pass away.
They also still have to keep it for
a certain period of time.
Yep.
In the case that a dispute erupts. Here's one of the single most important things always, and this is what I love about systems. You know, when someone passes away, guys, that you've got to put in a notice in the newspaper, you know, like a little classified notice in the newspapers, signaling towards someone's passing, informing loved ones or people or acquaintances or friends and like that. But there's also another dimension to putting in a notice like that. It's also to inform potential debtors or creditors of this individual,
yeah,
meaning people who owed this person money and people this person owed money to be aware. Now, if, let's say, an individual's affairs are in order, Helmut, that individual would have had a testimonial, a testament or a will.
Yeah.
And that will and testament would have indicated an executioner. And an executioner, in many cases, guys, can be an appointed entity, or it could be, let's say, a family member that's trusted that has to coordinate with an appointed legal entity. Otherwise, in many cases, what happens with a lot of you Africans?
Do I?
Huh?
An executor.
Executor. Yeah, not an executioner.
Executioner, you went.
Yeah. I went full Spanish executioner. Okay, sorry, guys. Executor.
No one is getting.
Yeah, and no one is getting, you know, let them. No one is getting guillotined.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but the thing is, executor makes it, you know, just makes it worse because.
Yeah,
because
it even sounds just as, you know, how should I say, bad faith. Malafide sounds just as bad faith. But the position exists.
Yeah, yeah.
So an executor in this scenario, guys, could be, for example, you one of your siblings, yeah, or a parent, one of the parents, if the other parent passed away, and they have to coordinate with a legal entity. That's if your affairs are in order.
Yeah.
Even in terms of the passing happened very suddenly. But in many cases, what happens with a lot of you Africans, I'm really sorry for pointing out on many of you Africans.
Oh, it was pointed out several times here in Namibia too.
Your parents, or some of you, you know, you decide to visit the pearly gates without having your affairs in order.
Without saying goodbye.
Yeah. And then it falls under the mandate of the state, meaning you died or passed away interstate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your loved ones have to deal with the, what's this thing's name? The High Court or the Supreme Court?
Masters, usually.
It's the Masters, yes, yeah. But it's administered by one of those two higher courts.
You know, my favorite part about that topic is it has a lot of cultural influence to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we also have that, you know, culture that every, you know, don't talk about death because you'd be wishing it upon the individual that you're talking about death. And that cultural perception with regards to some of the topics that are considered taboo, influence a lot of our, you know, a lot of our lives where you see that even when you are an adult, that's actually one of the major contributing factors over why a lot of people die interstate. In other words, they die without leaving a will behind with regards to how their estate is going to be distributed. And so you can just see that it has a lot of cultural implication to it. But, what's a chicken's favorite joke? None of us is getting out of it alive. It's dark, I know. But no one is getting out alive. So
it's that?
So the thing is, I've drafted several of those as part of my, my practicals. That's one depressing document to draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A will and testament.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now imagine if you're the person.
Imagine if it's yours.
Yeah, if you're the person drafting it
yourself.
If you
are the person drafting it yourself.
Yeah.
Now, which is why I think, but the thing is, even if you have to ask someone to draft it for you, you'll have to give them the conditions that they will have to draft.
Yeah.
And you'll have to go through it to make sure that everything is in order before you just, submit it to all the relevant institutions for execution when you finally go full, you know, Cristiano in a bucket. But the thing is,
Cristiano in the bucket?
You know, when you decide to score. But the thing is, it really comes in handy in terms of convenience because a lot of disputes shows up when someone passes away, especially if they had enough money to afford bologna. Parents want to kill each other over the change that was left. Or all the, you know, or all the assets that the, you know, that the late had.
Yeah.
And, a lot of people now that are, interesting, that's actually one of my favorite part about Namibian laws that are prioritized in instances like this are children.
Yeah.
You can show up there and say, you know what? He was my uncle. We grew up together. Like, yeah. Well,
if the uncle had his own kids.
Yeah. Your uncle has kids.
Stand to the side, boy.
You know.
Unless he made mention of it in a testament.
Of you.
But if there's no testament or will, you are not the son. Stanian Gantian.
And
just step aside. Don't even argue. The court will tell you. Just.
Yeah, that's on you. And one thing that I also witnessed is relatives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Relatives will show up. Pulling all these very, traditional cards with regards to why they deserve the assets that are left behind. But, I think this is where the court, I can imagine, in terms of succession have to constantly tell people, guys, yes, I know he's your son, your uncle, your brother, this is your culture, but he got married in community of property. And the asset distribution that we are going to follow, we as the court and the executor that was left in place and all the, basically the method of asset distribution that this individual left in place are all based in civil law.
Yes.
That's what we are going to execute. No offense to your culture or your relationship with this disease, but they got married, and most of them, in community of property. So whether you liked your in-law here or not, she's getting 50%.
Yep.
Look,
whether you liked your aunt or not, it's your aunt that gets free.
No, posters. When I visited them this other time, she didn't give me food. We don't care.
Mm.
According to these documents, this how much it deserves. It's, I think I should, you know, major in divorce law. But, yeah, the diabolical one is criminal law. And criminal is just something, you know, the things that people do to each other.
Mm.
Ish. You know, even if you are the judge, you've been there 10 years, you'd be like, you did what?
But how did you do this?
Like, first of all, you'll have
describe it
for full diabolical to, you know, to even think of it. But, now that I'm looking at all this pile of information that's basically needed by, you know, at least in administrative terms on a government level, it made me circle back to the point that you made earlier that it really helps, you know, take for example the EID discussion comes in very handy in terms of interoperability. But that brings up the information of, are we going to talk about, first of all, the regulations around how this information will be acquired, processed, stored, and disposed of.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I think a paper trail, paper trail made, you know, was the term that was used back then. But now that we are in the digital, everything is being digitized. We are more like talking about the digital footprint, or even though the digital footprint is based on your internet activities.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the parts that I'm mostly interested in, not really concerned, at least not yet, is just interested in terms of knowing is, this information. I know that we don't make computer chips or this type of chip. I'm just curious as to who is making the cards. And who is, slapping on the chips.
Yeah.
And what type of digital infrastructure is running on. And who is building both the hardware and the software. Because, well, now that's where the real genuine security concern for me comes in.
It's a good thing you started with a security concern. I'm not yet at my chapter, Hamut. Where are we? Yeah, we're at five. We're literally past the first third. Just to feed your concern,
yeah.
Basically. And that's before I get into the Namibian sort of like scenario of gaps. Where's this thing? Where's the search thing that I've got open? No. What are you doing? We don't want such indications.
Okay, hang on a second. I think we left out something that I feel like we should have pointed out. That we are not the first country to adopt this technology.
Oh, yes. So on the African continent,
yeah.
We are not the first. Technically...
Actually, both in Africa and the world. We're not
and
the first.
In the world, yes. But in SADC, there's already a leader. And in an AU context, there's a second country there. In SADC, it's Mauritius. They've had it since 2013. In an AU, broader African context, it's Nigeria. And Nigeria's one is connected to banking services directly as well. Basically to take access to financing or what we discussed yesterday, the financial inclusion discussion, to take it to another step that banks have limitations, ATMs have limitations, swipe machines have limitations, cell phone towers have limitations as well, internet infrastructure has limitations. But this is a scenario of using the digital ID in Nigeria basically to also double as a potential payment mechanism.
Yeah.
Look, it's a Wikipedia entry. It explains it. Firstly, I saw a lot of particular sort of like concerns, you know, merging a financial activity with your identity and specifically an identity tool that is digital and electronic. But that's Nigeria. It works for Nigeria. when we come to a dimension, one of the particular sort of like explainers that helps with Helmut's particular reservation that he had. Now, advantages, disadvantages of these digital or electronic IDs, one outlet or platform, in this small research that I did, they cite specifically that what are the pros and cons is the first thing. This was written back in 2024. Digital IDs promise greater convenience and user control. True. The potential is there. User control, greater convenience. But it raises concerns around privacy and security, which Helmut already outlined.
Yeah.
Another guy has a blog on a website known as The Financer, but Financer written with an S-E-R at the end. He explains it here. The good thing is that you can move around the world without identity documents. To an extent. I'll put this to an extent, like this. To an extent. The bad thing, he explains here, is that you can move around the world and be recognized
by everyone.
But what did you expect? You show your passport anywhere when you fly. When you buy the ticket, ne?
Yeah.
You anyway have to produce a passport number.
Yeah.
That passport number is through Ministry of Home Affairs, is communicated to all countries around the world of these databases of passports.
Yeah.
So if you thought a passport was anonymous, you are lying to yourself.
It's not. Actually, it's not. Actually, your passport already has that technology.
Yes. I've got the new passport, the 10-year one. Because if you now go and apply for a passport, Helmut, at Home Affairs, you get a 10-year passport. It's valid for 10 years. The previous passport you had was valid for 5 years.
Yeah.
Now, the 10-year one is a thicker passport, and it already has biometric technology in it.
Yeah.
Now, biometric technology just takes you to the next level, basically. Now, that means... like that thing I saw in China last year, you scan your passport. So you scan your passport, it reads your passport, and there you go. You're in an international system that technically is reinforced by the International Aviation and Transport Authority, IATA, and then there's ICAO, the other International Aviation Authority, International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO. ICAO and IATA are like two sister organizations. Now, the one is responsible for like, includes webs, covers like the role that airports play, and the other one covers the role that passenger air travel plays and other related, you know, air travel or aviation dimensions. When you approach a website, not a website. When you approach an airport, you will anyway be identified at an airport.
Yeah.
Anyway. There'll anyway be CCTV there. It'll anyway be there.
Speaking of which, that's pretty much everywhere these days.
Basically, yes. So then we roll out down into another particular thing. Okay, this one outlet speaks here about digital identity associated to digital wallet benefits and risks. We will get to that. You will speak about the sanctions of the ICC guy, and I will also bring in what Francesca Albanese, the UN Special Rapporteur on Gaza, the sanctions she also faces. And then in an EU EU context, basically, they explain here that, but these guys are technically sort of like anti the surveillance state dimension that comes through. They're known as the European Digital Rights Organization. The pros and cons of EIDs, even though some European economies, EU economies already have it, like Germany and like Austria and like Italy, there are still other parts of the EU economy that don't like digital IDs would be a doorway for. For example, mass surveillance, the ability to switch off your banking and your access to your own money. In the event of that your country thinks that you are an antagonist in one or other fashion or manner. For example, like what happened to the Swiss lady? That, you remember the guy that I also showed you from Neutrality Studies, Pascal?
Yeah.
Pascal interviewed this lady. She's a Swiss citizen. But all she did was fly from Lausanne or from Zurich into France. And then she had bought the ticket and everything, and then trying to return back in between there.
Yeah.
The EU or someone disconnected her digital ID as part of the sanctions package. Now she can't access her money. Her bank card doesn't work anyway. She can't buy a ticket to fly back because she's a human rights advocate.
Yeah.
And she can't move, basically. Her own country allowed another country or another entity, basically, because Switzerland is not part of the EU, but Switzerland sits smack bang in the middle of the EU, basically to impose sanctions on her. Or is she a German citizen? It's one of the two. She's one of the two. But all they did was just press a button on a digital ID. Now, I'm not saying, guys, it's a scare tactic. But whatever you do, life is about decisions. Just know that.
You know, here's the thing. Picture the time when bank accounts didn't exist. When the bank accounts as we know them today didn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, when the I'm old enough to remember the time when my grandma's bank account was one corner of her shitenge. That was her bank account. You just take all the money that he had, whether it's especially one that she's able to walk around. She wants to to walk around with. She'll just take some of it and tie it at usually the corner of the at the corner of her shitenge.
Mm.
Now that had its own risks because if you get robbed and that shitenge gets stolen, your money is gone.
Yeah.
Now, and you can also, you can also bank with, with under the pillow or under the mattress, financial institution limited. But you end up with one problem. If someone
might become a pala pala.
Exactly. You can go with a, thank you very much for that, for the reminder.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can, now you can bank with pala pala banking. But that also, as we have seen, has its own negative sides.
Mm.
For one, well, it's, the money is very easy to, the advantage of under the mattress or under the sofa banking is, one of the advantage is also doubles as a disadvantage. Advantage, easy to withdraw because you don't have to punch in any pin. But that also is a disadvantage because anyone can withdraw, as we saw that, well, there are some Namibians that withdrew the current South African president's money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it comes with like everything comes with pros and cons. The thing about digitizing information is that it makes it very easy in terms of interoperability, in terms of you don't have to deal with the cumbersome or problems of having to carry a lot of things with you.
Yeah.
The problem with that is just like everything else, too centralized information becomes a very good way of service provision when you have the right governance structures in terms of legislations and actually rational leaders in office, which is more often, it's a very scarce thing in the world of politics.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, the thing is, there's always that one weary time when you end up with someone who is crazy in office, because now they have all the information they need to go after anyone.
Yeah.
So this is not happening in Namibia, or fingers crossed it doesn't happen. But the thing is, this is the disadvantage of making information easily accessible, especially in the digital, in the digitized world. Well, when it comes to digitizing information, especially with regards to, how, information is being acquired and processed, and the, the swiftness with which it can be transferred or moved or accessed, if you have the right access, it gives you mixed feelings, or gives me mixed feelings. This is very easy for convenience, because, if you digitize it and then all, all the ministries can quickly, access and share this information with ease. And, I actually kind of thought they already do that, but anyway, maybe, the digitizing makes it even more convenient, but it's not all rosy, because like everything else, it's going to come with its own disadvantage.
Yeah.
Because like you just pointed out, it becomes, it becomes very easy to target you. Right now, right now, Okay, you have your money in your bank account.
Mm.
If the authorities suspect that you acquired that money somehow in a questionable way, they can just tell the bank to block your access to that bank account, and they will do that.
Mm.
Yeah. Now they will do that even though you don't have an ID that has a chip.
Yeah.
So if that is your worry, you shouldn't have opened a bank account.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Because all they can do is just call your bank.
Like, they can do that already.
Actually, it's through the Bank of Namibia. They do that. They can do that. And the Financial Intelligence Center, FIC.
They can do that already without you having it, without you having an ID with a computer chip.
Yeah.
So if that is your worry, I don't think you have a lot of things to worry about. Now, when it comes to the centralization of information, it becomes a very good thing in terms of service provision, because one thing that was pointed out here, let me just see if you can read that. And this is from, when was it, the 23rd? Was that the last week?
Yeah.
Last week, Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, last week, Thursday, the Director of National Civil Registration at the Ministry of Home Affairs, speaking to the national broadcaster, said that the EIDs will help improve identity verification and prevent identity fraud.
Mm.
Identity verification improving, I agree with that. Identity fraud, I have so many questions on that. Because when you electronize something, you improve the convenience, but the security becomes, the more convenience you have, the more the security becomes very questionable.
Yeah.
The chips basically will have, how do I put this? A very simple way of thinking of this is just picture your banking card, except the way that it was demonstrated, was that you will not have a chip that you can, see, because you can see one that's on your SIM card.
Yeah,
you can see that because
you
it's big enough.
You can see one that's on your ATM card.
You can see that, but the one on your ID, I think it's been micro, you can't see it. But the thing is still there. And your passport, I had to be told your passport that has a chip. But it has one.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, if freezing your money is your worry, then, and you didn't know, then I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Mm.
If the government wanted to do that today, they can do it even when you don't have the banking, an ID that has a chip.
Yeah.
They can do that.
It just costs a phone call.
That's it.
Sometimes it just costs an email, which is cheaper than the phone call.
Yeah.
If we really now had to compare a cost or do a cost analysis, it's cheaper to just
way
make,
cheaper just you know
just yeah. make lift the phone and say hello sit that I man's geld af.
Yeah, and
switch off, just no, don't ask questions.
Shut it down, and look, digital ID, huh?
Look, we would have eventually have moved there, but this is now, where are we now in our discussion? Okay, now it's time for me to put on my bad cop.
Oh, boy.
Now I can invest energy in my persona or performance. On the digital ID discussion, now, this is where I've got a few... And this is sometimes the things that you sometimes can see that our public entities... They leap, they make a leap of faith when they make a statement of things.
Mm-hmm.
A leap of faith, for example, is what CRAN CEO Nikembwa noted, that advancing the digital transformation of Namibia. Yes, this would advance it.
Yeah.
Then she says a little bit later in her statement, it would close the digital divide. How?
if there are people with no electricity? How if you need to buy internet? How if you need to regularly buy the internet? How if we really saw in COVID, basically,
mm-hmm.
that it's good, you know, at that stage, the Ministry of Education came up with a wonderful idea. Yeah, let's do e-learning. Let's give the kids the laptops.
Oh, no, that didn't go very well.
The kids don't have electricity at home. How?
Forget electricity. For one, you need a smartphone at the very least.
Yeah, but a smartphone guzzles data.
Oh, yeah. Really fast.
Really fast. It guzzles data regularly. However, if you had the laptop, which at that stage was the laptop that they wanted to bring in for school learners, it would have been a discussion of they had to supply the mobile modem.
Yeah, the dongles.
Yeah.
You know what? One big problem.
Yeah.
I have used those.
Yeah.
They barely work in Hakahana. I can't imagine if they will do anything different when I'm in Divundu when I'm in Tikanduko.
Or when you're in Tukwe.
I don't see that.
Or when you're standing on the highest peak in a mountain or on a hill somewhere in Kunene.
So
we know that there are dead spots.
They are dead spots.
There are major dead spots where you have no service. You don't even get a basic GSM spectrum connection, which is just phone calls and basic SMSs. There are spots in this country. Now, obviously, the spots are avoided because people don't live there.
Yeah.
But straightforward.
It would be a waste of infrastructure. Yeah.
You don't go put infrastructure where people don't live. You put infrastructure where people live. Classic. Very good strategy. But to state, it'll close the digital divide where year in, year out, you will hear people from GAM, they're on the other side of Tsumkwe, complaining they need their national documents again.
Mm-hmm.
Which in many cases, I don't know how many it was year in, year out, the same community pops up in national discourse about not having access to the national documents, which in my case, in my scenario, I don't know if it's someone actually throwing mud at the government, or the people who complain are just not there when the mobile people come. Because really, that shouldn't even be a discussion by now in 2026. You just have to assume that there is an extension exercise that the Ministry of Home Affairs conducts, basically, to register and give an issue national documents. But now let's get into the established and understood rural and urban settlements and discussions. Okay, so just to help with Cran's particular explanation of closing the digital divide, we know that two of the three major ICT or internet service providers in the country, two of the three are state-owned. This is Telecom Namibia and MTC. The third one, which is Paratus, is privately owned to a great extent. But Paratus, between the other two, Paratus is across SADC, just so that you know. Paratus is a major SADC presence. So we're talking South Africa, we're talking Angola, we're talking Mozambique, we're talking Zambia. I assume Zimbabwe is there. We're talking Botswana. I know Tanzania is there to an extent. So you can already see that product, that service provider is pretty regional. Talk about regional integration, Amud.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, I'm not to blow their horn as Paratus, but every time because I also use it at home for myself, but every time when I look at that thing, every time I look at that company's like footprint, in SADC, I'm shocked. I'm shocked, literally, I'm shocked, because I'm like, a Namibian company does this. But anyway, jumping the gun ahead, you know, I might be sent invoices, which I don't want.
Yeah.
Let's zone in, for example, on the digital divide discussion. Now, digital divide, Helmut, how does digital divide take place? How does it happen?
Digital divide for me happens in a household setting. What my elder siblings or older siblings were exposed to. What my parents were exposed to. Digital divide happens at the most micro level. What your parents use, what your older siblings use, you get exposed to. Or what you know, if you're the older sibling, you go and expose your family members to it. Now, in some scenarios, I've been stumped. Because I have lived with a particular philosophy which emanates from my grandparents on my mom's side. If you don't have money for the thing, then you don't need the thing.
Yeah.
It's a simple philosophy. If you don't have money for the thing, you don't have the thing, you live without it until you get the money to acquire the thing. Now, we can clearly see from the financial inclusion discussion of yesterday, financial inclusion probably in that report to a great extent would say, would give a range of how much money in terms of remittances take place, which is one of the key factors I loved because it's above 50% in the moment. Like I said yesterday, if you see national remittances are above 50%, this is, for example, that thing that you sometimes do when you send your younger brother money.
Mm-hmm.
That's a remittance because you send him money. So he's financially included.
Mm-hmm.
He's financially included. If I give a vagrant on the street a $5 or a street kid $5, they are financially included.
Yeah, I think the goal around the financial inclusion is to make the infrastructure that is used in in money transfer. I think at this point we are just talking about digitizing it to the point where we'll soon be running into Tura Boys with speed points, for financial inclusion. But the thing is, look, like you just pointed out, we keep jumping the gun here.
Mm.
Yeah, we keep jumping the gun here, which is why, I pointed out earlier that I genuinely want to know. Last time I checked, our voter's cards had to be printed in South Africa. Now, here's the thing.
Huh? Yeah. I got my voter's card here.
Huh?
You mean
not the voter's card. The ballot papers. The ballot papers, not the voter's card. The voter's card and student card, it turns out, just chop, you get it. But the thing is, the cards, we get that.
Mm.
Yeah, the technology, both the hardware and the digital aspect of it.
Yeah.
Where is it coming from? If you are producing it local, congratulations. Yeah. But if we are not, are we operating on trust, Pimbro, or we are just, know that, okay, we have all the right experts in mind to make sure that this information is safe. Yeah. I know that this is somewhat, a point that is not very that relevant to make, considering that we use all kinds of banking technologies we don't own. And pretty much of the electronic technology, you think both soft and hard type of this technology, it's not produced not in Namibia, but most of it not even in Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think your television, your smartphone, and all these brands are coming from, for the most part, from the West. But these questions are going to come up in terms of, because when we start talking about procurement now, when we start talking about procurement, procuring all this technology that we need to bring to life all our digital ID dream, we'll start asking very simple questions, and these are just curious. That, because if we find out that there is, the chip, and this is just an example, the chip part of the ID is being made out of South Africa or out of China or the US, we'll have to buy that.
Yeah.
And that procurement, you'll run into a lot of people that will genuinely ask a very simple question. Don't we have something we should be channeling that money to? Because, well, this ID seems to be working just fine to me. It's at least not in terms of data interoperability. But even when it comes to the discussion of data interoperability, I think we can pull that off even with the IDs we have now.
Yes, we technically can. Even mine. Mine is before the ID that President Geingob and First Lady Geingos launch the biometric one back in
2022. The one with the barcode?
The one, well, this one that I have does have a barcode on it.
Yeah.
Okay, but, okay, right. Hold on. Just let me finish my story. As I was saying, I was, my man, you've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my chassis is getting warm. Just give more eyes. Anyways, long story short. Oh, hi. When you're talking, it's a short story long. Short stories turn long. Go best together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. We have 28 minutes left to the hour of six, so you're still listening to Home Run with Helm and Dwight. And today's discussion is digital IDs and the fear, both social and technological, and I can't believe I'm saying this, religiously, that the documents are more like the implementation is inciting in a lot of Namibians, which are, and I hate to be politically correct, which are all genuinely, genuine concerns. Let's just look at it from, at least personally, I'm looking at it from a technological point of view.
Mm.
And to some degree from a political point of view. The technological point of view is, who is making the technology?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the goal is to provide the information to the government for easy service provision, but you also the lasting one is to provide information like that to someone who will wake up the next day and use it against us. China decided to invest in their navigation system after years of relying on the American navigation system. And it was shut down in one of their ships that was headed to Iran.
Yeah.
That type of, technological dependence, if we haven't, we don't want, I don't want us to wait until we find ourselves in a corner that China found themselves into when their navigation system was shut down, for us to learn to start investing in our own technology. And this is why I like to look at some of these topics from an African standpoint, because you can look at it from a Namibian perspective, but you may as well just be talking about the whole Africa.
It's a good thing you're citing the global positioning systems, because we also have to ask the question in terms of if your device, like my mobile phone and this tablet of mine here in front of me, give off a signal, where does the signal go to? Who receives the signal? Who sits with a tower on the other side of the world?
I'm thinking, okay, first of all, you just have to think about the tower that we use, yeah. You know, the towers that we use for the, for just pretty much any network here in Namibia.
Yeah.
The physical hardware itself has, you know, now the tower themselves require a lot of physical, you know, physical parts, aka your hardware, basically. Yeah. So saying physical hardware, it's redundant. So, now think about these things. It's being used by local, you know, take for example, internet, internet providers.
Mm.
But who is making the technology? We know that companies like ZTE dominate in, you know, in making technologies like this. So, that's why, so the point I'm trying to make is this not me, you know, sort of like being difficult. I'm just curious with regards to knowing where is this information going to be stored?
Yeah.
Who is going to process it? Yeah. Are we doing it locally or are we outsourcing that?
Yeah.
Because outsourcing means, well, a lot of money.
Well, for now, it seems like 1 September is like, sort of like the unveiling particular date of Home Affairs' particular going live, as the CEO of CRAN, Madam Nikembo, said.
Yeah.
You know, Home Affairs goes live, and then we obviously see to what extent. Because this this speaks to data interoperability, making that data of Home Affairs basically sort of like play a major role, a practical role,
yeah,
in practical or in applied scenarios across Namibia. So what am I talking about, practicality or applied scenarios? Let's, for example, say you have to go and pay for something. The service provider at their particular computer sit with, they can pull up a profile of you, or like that one time, for example, in one of the commercial banks, when that bank still had a branch, literally in Independence. And what is one of the, it was one of the scariest stories that I ever saw in my real, in like real reality take place. So I was waiting in line to open up, a second savings account. Now I had my first account for major activists, but I had to open up the second account because at that stage, my younger brother and I, we wanted to sort of like start our own particular like transport endeavor. And I said, listen, for us to be transparent with each other, let's open up the second account and we put the monies in there for the savings purposes of what we need.
Yeah.
So I went to that bank because it was close to the place that I worked at the time, then Independence Avenue. And as I'm now waiting in line first, there's two young guys, but they're sitting with their backs to me. Two young guys being helped by a customer service representative.
Yeah.
But the customer service representative looks, you know, from body language, because I sometimes like observing, you know, just activities, you know, while you're waiting, you know, an hour sometimes is a long time sitting in a line. But luckily for me, you know, I had the luxury of that time, primarily to finish that activity. And at that one point, because there were only three of these people, these customer service reps, at that one station, the thing is taking a bit long. The lady helping them goes out, goes back, you know, goes back to the back offices and comes back, goes again and comes back. Then she explains something. You don't hear it because it's not, you can't eavesdrop from where I was standing. And, but I could read from the body language that she's annoyed with the two young guys sitting in front of her. Until she goes, gets her supervisor, who is a colored lady. And now they engage with these two young men. Now, with the time that I got to being assistant, sitting down now, the supervisor tells the two young men, sir, there's no way that you are 53 sitting in front of me. I'm talking about two young guys that are 21 showing up with an ID that says this person, one of them, is Kama 53. I sat there turning around because the supervisor, she was now becoming annoyed with what these two young guys were trying to do. So they were trying to access someone's finances with that ID, because the person clearly who has the finances, that's their ID. And they were trying to access the finances, what you could perceive as one of them trying to play off that they are
being the owner.
Being the owner of the ID. And they showed up with this ID and said, this is, then one of them said, this is my ID.
That's me.
But
when I was 53 in the previous life.
But everyone can see that this guy is just barely graduated from kindergarten. You know, and it was a funny scenario because that's how can I call it? How fraud can take place on a manual level.
Yeah.
Let me use English for what English is. On a manual level. That is how fraud can take place. This meme being two guys trying their shot at trying to con their way to getting to finances at this banking institution with potentially a vulnerable person, an elderly person's particular piece of identification. So right there, you immediately see an example where the banking institution, the retail bank, yeah, they know they've got a fiduciary role. In protecting identities, in protecting privacy, in protecting information. Because it all these three responsibilities emanate from the money you put in that bank account with them.
Yeah.
So they've got to uphold a trust mechanism with not just their customers, but to the whole Namibian financial system. That was a good thing, specifically of that, of what happened there. When people are sharp-eyed, when they obviously can see, you know, see through systems. Or see through particular sort of like, let me rather call it like, what is it called? Shenanigans. Let's use that word. When they can see through shenanigans. Now, the shenanigans are now the concern that you highlighted, Hamoud. Who is collecting the data? Now, in a manual situation like what happened there,
yeah,
the data is collected and stored by the banking institution who has a direct responsibility and engagement level with the customer.
Yeah.
That is a relationship you can prove because the relationship exists. The relationship is based upon the one party, the customer, is willing to make use of the services of the institution, the private corporation, who's obviously providing said customer service or said function. And there's a fee. You can prove product, you can prove place, you can prove delivery, you can prove the essentials of a contract of purchase. So you can prove it all in that equation. Now we get into digital IDs. Now, the comments that we started off on, the mark of the beast, Goedersen. Now you've got to walk around with not just holy water, potentially baseball bats, because some people believe they're living in a zombie apocalypse movie for some reason, or this is the end times, as some of them would say. You know, they could see, what's that company in the Terminator movies? That's
Skynet.
Skynet. They can see a Skynet. There are scenarios like this, but you've got to make the guys at fault for that is Peter Thiel and Elon Musk, his buddy Elon Musk. They are the Skynets. You have to be afraid of them. Those are the Skynets.
Yeah, but those are the guys you are giving your information free.
Just for free. Because you guys love using Instagram, you love using Meta, you love logging on and sharing the world on Facebook, and then Meta's AI just goes and harvests your face and you wonder why you're being deep faked in certain particular dubious platforms. But yeah, go ahead, continue. Do you know that I stopped sharing personal pictures of myself on my Facebook page?
Mm-hmm.
Hamoud, it's a scary world out there. When the existence of the AI and the LLMs became so apparent from 2022, heading this way, I don't post personal pictures anymore. Yeah, I'll still keep that which is there because it's already captured in one way or another.
Yeah.
But to keep the activity, to keep the accounts, for example, like the Meta account, like the Facebook account and the X account, to keep it active, I would like other people's posts, or I would repost something of theirs, just to keep, you know, just to keep the algorithm saying, yeah, he's still here, he's still a human. But loading up your wedding photos, no.
Yeah, especially kids' pictures. That's one thing that makes me go like, seriously, guy?
Yeah, no, really, because when the obviousness of the LLMs and the rollout of the AIs, now the AIs are rogue, according to Sam Altman. His AI apparently, one of his AIs, one of his LLMs, went rogue. How does an AI go rogue? Because you kept feeding the thing. They kept feeding the thing.
Look, Helmut, we all know that changing societal things will lead specifically to certain particular population declines around the world. But I'll still tell you today, Helmut, the Japanese are definitely having more babies than the Namibians. The South Koreans are still having more babies than the Namibians. The Chinese are definitely having more babies than the Namibians. Even the, who's the other population? Even the Italians, who also are one of those stagnating populations, yeah? In terms of their rate of replacement, meaning births versus deaths rate.
Yeah.
Death rates. They are still having more babies than the Namibians.
Is that counting for the fact that they have a much larger population than us?
Definitely. It's based on that scenario. Just because they've got, for example, Japan, 127 million people. 127 million people. If they just have 1 million babies from that 127 million, just a million, it still beats Namibia's birth rate, primarily. Now, if we get into the particular discussion of, you know, what helps with the ability to marry. The ability to marry, guys, and to improve everyday life is not based upon whether or not I have a digital ID. It's also not based upon whether or not I have access to internet. It's also not based upon, Helmut, whether you and I have crossed the digital divide from when we were technically unconnected to now being connected. Because all it costs in many scenarios is usually sometimes you and the partner who are about to create a new human, you guys are busy sharing a beer. We know that. It's definitely got nothing to do with the digital divide.
Look, I'm still going to go back to the point you made earlier that we are, it's a good initiative. It's a good technology in terms of convenience and so maybe service provision. But the reason why I keep pounding at the service provision part is that, okay, this technology is made to expedite service provision. But the thing is, if you have a 45-1 learner to teacher ratio, even
no,
if you,
55.
55 yeah. to one, learner to teacher ratio.
In commerce even, region.
That's just in commerce region. Yeah. So, if you expedite the ease of getting access to that particular service, the thing is, you still not have access to, you still struggle to acquire the service because it's in short supply.
Yes.
You know what, with this new ID, let's just take for example that you are this, sales speech that's being sent to,
the Minister of Education. Let's use education.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with health.
Okay.
Yeah. Take for example, you are promoting this idea. You're basically not promoting. You are explaining to Namibians that you know what, this new ID is going to have a lot of advantages, including giving you faster access to health services. And you'll be like, all right, so I'll be able to quickly get to, my information will quickly be processed. But the thing is,
Show up now at Karatura. And you go sit in that line. You'll be told, please wait in that line to pay to get a ticket number to go there.
Now,
where's the digital divide?
Here's the thing. Let's just take, for example, everyone in that queue has that digital ID. And there's a speed point where you basically, more like scan for all your information that then the nurses would take manually to be, to be captured by the system.
Yeah.
The thing is, when it comes to being examined, you'll still be in one heck of a queue because you don't have enough doctors or medical experts.
So the backlog is not solved.
You are not solving it by solving the access first instead of improving the service before you start working on the access.
No, but Mohamed, you already proved the point. And the other point that I made. When you get there to Karatura for, let's say, in the emergency scenario, something happened, you'll be still in a queue.
Absolutely, you will be in a queue.
You will still be in a queue. So technically, what is this digital, this digital enhancement provided? Further queues, which has been one of the weirdest things. For example, have you seen the wait times that people get with that new queuing systems that exist? The ones that give you the ticket.
Oh, yeah. No.
Wherever you go.
That's the most useless thing. Because, are things going fast now?
No, they're not. do you know what would have happened, Hamid? Even in a different scenario, if you broke up, if you broke up, how to queue, for example. Let's say my desk says I can help you with general information and things related to your account.
Yeah.
Your desk has to do with selling of services. And then let's say David's desk has to do with technical support for customer. And you just have this little sign that says you're on your desk, whatever I just explained to you now. People come and queue immediately with you. They come and queue immediately.
Yeah.
But somewhere, somehow, some customer service expert or consultant went and thought, you know what, let's bring in a ticketing system.
You know what, that's where I keep saying, we are not solving a lot of problems because we just keep working out ways to make money. Because for me, that's just an unnecessary expenses.
Yes, Amon. Do you know what's the worst part? Where customer service has now gone to? Customer service has now gone to let the customer do it themselves. It now has become do-it-yourself service.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, Helmut. You, if you could do something yourself, in many
cases, why would I need you?
You would have owned the thing already, right? But just because you now need to walk or drive to your bank to be told now, take a ticket. Now you take a ticket. Now the consultant, let's say you're after a specific number. Let's say it's A1. A1 decided to go for lunch because A1 couldn't wait so long in the queue. Now the consultant is there, but and I've done this before. The person sits there hammering on A, calling out A1. A1 is not responding because A1 is not here. Now I keep telling, then sometimes I get so annoyed. I say, the person is not here. You can clearly see this. They would have reacted.
Yeah.
Move on to the next number, please. Now they move over. Now they move on to the next number. Now you look like the sour apple because you're the apple now telling basically whoever that's the customer service consultant.
Yeah.
You know, if you really see the person is not here after, you know, announcing it the first two times, move on to the next number. So, in the customer, but obviously they will have their own particular performance parameters. In the customer service realm, Helmut, that ticketing service has led to more frustration than actually helping the customer. To be honest, guys, just so that you know, it has led to more frustration. You know, that was at a time at City of Windhoek at the cashier's side, where there was a time that the security guard told us, if you came to come pay there, the cashiers at City of Windhoek, don't take a ticket, just go stand. Are you here to pay? And you say yes, just go stand.
Oh, yeah, just get in the queue.
If you're going to the other inquiries desks, the other desks, then you take a ticket. Because those guys have like specialist needs and they've got to deal with specialist discussions. But if you're here to pay, just go queue. If you're an elderly or pensioner person, that extra, the last line, nice queue, that's you. You go queue there. Straightforward stuff. If you know you're there to pay, Ahmed, why do you need a ticketing system?
Look, what's this? You know, the whole... this is a misplacement. That right there for me, if you ask me, that's a misplacement of resources to, you know... I would argue there are a lot of things that you'd have used that resource for. Yeah. Because now you have to procure this device that's dispensing these tickets. And you have...
distribution.
At all your distributions. And you have to, someone is making, that's an entire supply chain that you are looking at there. Someone have to produce the paper, someone have to produce the ink, and that thing is using electricity.
And then some guys show up with Superman fingers who start pressing fingers through the screen, the interactive screen, and they just go like, da, 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 da. Sorry guys. Sorry.
Don't break your finger. So now, here's the thing. For a private institution, sure, go nuts. But for a public institution, I went through, events, in terms of the reports that they produced on an African level. One thing, there are three. You have the African Development Bank. You have SADC, anti-corruption representatives from all the SADC countries. And the African Union, you know, that Gatete guy from the Economic of Economic Commission of Africa.
Yeah.
One thing they are one thing these three have in common, especially especially what Gatete said and the African African Development Bank's analysis of the sort of like the economic the economic outlook on Southern Africa.
Yeah.
Is having resources is not enough. You will have to first figure out how to use these resources, the little that you have, to speak to your needs.
Yeah.
And that actually hit really hard for me, because I came to realize that, you know what, that is actually true, because that speaks to the individual level here, just here in Namibia, for example, of, if you don't know how to budget, it doesn't matter how much money they're going to pay you.
Mm.
You'll still be broke by the end of the day.
Mm.
And this is something that has been observed in, for lottery winners.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of lottery winners, I think one analysis that was done based on either the US or Canadian statistics. A lot of winners, the lottery winners that win about, let me just say, $2 to $5 million. Are broke in less than about $10 million. Mm-hmm. Are broke in less than 5 years.
Oh my goodness! You should have seen the people that win like UK and European lotteries.
Yeah,
the one guy won like 200 million euros. How much? A guy and his wife.
Jeez!
Within 5 years, like you said,
yeah.
That particular assessment, they were broke because they forgot to declare. And this is, I know, it's euphoria. You are over the moon, happy and alles. You are like, I made it in life. I did it.
Yeah.
And then you forget to approach your tax man and ask them, listen, when must I pay you before I start going on my situationships?
You know, spending spree.
Before I go on my situationships, what must I pay you? And that bill, the tax bill,
yeah.
Is the one that knocks them all out of the ballpark.
Oh.
It's the one that lands them either in the bankruptcy realm, or it puts them in jail because they don't have money to pay the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Or they just squander the money more on partying.
Yeah, it's mostly that.
Alcohol, expensive trips, expensive properties.
Yeah.
And so on. There's actually a funny story associated. My sister told me once about a guy in America who won a lottery, Hamoud. And the whole family, including his mother and his brothers and his siblings, his mother and his siblings, were all scheming to murder him.
What?
Yeah. His family was scheming to murder him.
Not total strangers.
No.
Your own family members are colluding to murder you for something that
you won.
Yeah, you
won. And you anyway, would have played trickle-down economics with your family.
Yeah.
You would anyway have blessed them. But somewhere, somehow, and I till the day now, when she told me that story, because it's on YouTube, those series, those video compilations and series.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, because I couldn't understand it. And what was explained to me is that it started like small, you know. Let's say your brother comes to you and says, okay, Hamoud, because you now go tell your family, your mom, your dad, and your siblings, you could tell them, guys, I won I won $10 million Namibian dollars. Let's say it's the first national lottery.
Yeah.
I won the first $10 million. I'm the winner. And they see your photos, they're happy for you. Then your brother comes to you, Hamoud, can you sponsor me like with $1 million?
Yeah, big kid.
Your dad comes to you and says, Helmut, can you help me with this wonderful business plan? Can you help me here? Because they know you will do certain things. You'll probably buy a house.
Yeah.
You'll probably buy certain particular assets, you know, for yourself first.
Yeah.
And then they will come like, Helmut, can you buy me a car? Helmut, can you buy me a house? Helmut, can you do this? Helmut, can you do that? And that's how it all started with this guy in America.
And then he realized.
And then... But I forgot to ask the question in terms of how did he find out about the scheming to have him murdered.
But it sounded like they were about to hire a guy, a hitman.
Of course.
To knock him off so that they can get access to the money. And these are some of the sad things that take place.
Yeah.
When it comes to winning lotteries. You know, it brings out the worst in people.
Couples, there are a lot of documentaries, especially on Investigation Discovery. I've watched a ton of those of either, it's mostly kids colluding to take the lives of their parents or the spouses for insurance.
Are you talking about the two brothers who killed their parents in the U.S.?
Two brothers?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I know that.
It's one of the world famous court cases that took place because they were such minors, né? They had to be put in some sort of protective custody, but it's custody like being in juvenile detention. And then when they become 18 or 19, they get moved to maximum security because of the planning.
They came up with a genius plan of taking their parents' lives when they barely, left the nest.
Yes.
Talk about being stupid.
It's the Menendez brothers. These guys. They even made a Netflix thing about it. I'll show you the picture now. These two brothers.
Okay, but
And then there's the other one, which is a very dumb story, which I still cannot understand until today. It's the Stacy something court case. This woman's daughter just disappears. A little girl just disappears. Just disappears.
And we all know people don't just disappear like that.
Yeah. But these two brothers, they were teenagers. Let me just revise it. They were teenagers, but the parents were technically like, they had like some solid, capital.
The thing is, after reading through the Van Broder case back in January 2015,
yeah,
the first thing that came in my head is, what mindset does one have to be? Because we know that, if you just knocked at your parents' house, if you knocked at their door, they'll open that door with a smile. Yeah, they just want to know, what's bothering you, if there's anything they can help you, or, if you're just there to visit,
But you do know why he did that.
Van Breda?
Yeah.
Why?
Because his dad said no to him to go on a trip or on a party with his buddies.
Usually you just exchange some kind of loud words and you call it a day. And he decided to solve that problem.
But he was 19 years old, remember? I remember I had such fallouts. I was disappointed. Disappointed.
Yeah.
When I was 15 or 16. This guy was 19. But then things started coming out during their court case about he had habits.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense now.
He had habits. And his dad suspected he had habits. One of the reasons why they moved out of Australia back to South Africa.
Yeah.
Because they were one of those first South Africans, that decided after 1994. But it's between 1994 and in the 2000s.
Yeah. We are leaving.
Where the mom and the dad was like, I'm leaving this country. I'm telling you, Alice, I'm leaving. And then, they take the flight to Australia and then they fly back. 15 years later, going like, nah, Owens.
Nah, it's not working.
Nah. Yeah. I know, it's the same sunlight, maybe.
Maybe,
but the English is just too much. Then they came back. When they came back, because the dad is, they've got a family vineyard.
Yeah.
They're in the Western Cape.
Yeah.
Because the dad had to also manage the vineyard. So they're basically a minted family.
Yeah.
They're minted.
Yep.
Because, if you own a vineyard, Helmut, your wine is international. If you're a South African wine producer, your wine is international. Because, they're like wines we don't even see in Namibia that South Africans produce, that they just export for the U.S., for China.
For high-end market.
For Europe. And France is most trying to keep the South Africans, the Australians, the Argentines, and the Americans out of Europe.
Yeah.
The French are aiming to do that.
They have, Bordeaux, the wine capital.
I know, Hamoud, but here's the downside.
Yeah.
The French the French use other techniques, like, for example, you can't use the word champagne, for example, like on J.C. Leroux.
Yeah.
Sometimes you would see that bottle has, it would say sparkling wine. Yeah. They can't use the name champagne because champagne comes from the Champagne Valley in France. Look at, yeah, it's labels. Labels are fine. Yeah. It's understandable.
Intellectual property. It's, creativity.
It's the same thing the South Africans do with the Americans who pick up a little rooibos tea plant here in South Africa, and decide to go and patent in New York, and the South Africans so go like, no. What are you doing? It's a natural plant. You can't patent a natural plant. So, in, for example, like with that discussion. So, Van Breda decided to just go, you know, full on cannonball, you know, on that particular scenario. And it was based upon him being, was he 21 or how old was he when he was tried? When he was basically sentenced. Because it's Mr. Sister's testimony that sentenced him. What is wrong with these things?
Yeah, the sister is the one that spent I think about months into a coma.
Yeah, she was in a coma because of his.
She was the only survivor.
Yeah, because of his attack on her.
Now
she couldn't remember the attack. Remember?
Yeah.
When he attacked her, she couldn't remember the attack, but it was her testimony.
And she had an auntie. Was very wonderful. He had an aunt who was defending him all throughout the way.
Really? Yeah, that's what family does. No, it's not true.
I know my sister is dead because of this idiot, but it's my.
No, it can't be. He won't kill his mother. But the police are like,
you gotta be kidding me.
That's the evidence. What are you talking about? But anyway, so yeah.
No.
Getting back to digital IDs.
Yeah, procurement for me.
Procurement for you.
Yeah, and the priorities in terms of where the money is going. Like I pointed out earlier.
Mm.
Yes, if the digital ID, for example, if we one of the service that will give you easy access to health services, will you be able to afford these health services? Or are they going to have...
Will it speed up the process?
Will it speed up the medical examination process? Because...
No,
it won't. Because as long as you don't have a big enough, health professional shortage,
yeah.
Even if you fast track the service of getting patients to the doctors, there won't be enough doctors or nurses to serve the patients. In other words, you're still going to have a queue.
You will still have a queue. That's just... Yes, I'm moving, David. Don't worry, I'm moving. But yeah, welcoming David now into the discussion. But before we actually continue, guys, let's quickly take an ad break and then we come back after that. Vivici University for the 2027 applications that are now open for the Faculty of Health Sciences for the following programs. Certificate for enrolled nurse, midwife or accoucheur level 6. Certificate in pharmacy level 5. Diploma in environmental health sciences level 6. Bachelor of Social Work Honours, Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours, Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8, Postgraduate Diploma in Occupational Health and Safety Level 8, Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing Level 8, Master of Public Health and the Master of Occupational Health and Safety. For more information, please call 081-403-6406. Vavitcha University, where everyone is an achiever.
And now let's take a real commercial break and we'll come back on the other side and get into this whole digital ID with David now.
Lipura nengeno wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doini nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. We continue now.
David, ask your question. Let David ask your question, because I want to give our listeners have to hear, David, about our positions, because we can all have diverse positions.
Point of
but
views.
Ask your question first.
No, I'm following the conversation.
Yeah.
I'm following the conversation. What I want to know is only that the service of the immediate need. I don't have a problem with advancing in terms of technology.
Yeah.
I only have a problem of leaving a lot of people behind, especially looking at the basic needs.
Thank you.
Are we done with the basic needs? And that is an obvious thing to say. You know, it's not wrong to have 1% of Namibians who are driving Porsche or Lamborghini. It's not wrong. But it's going to be very problematic if somebody does not even know the price of a bicycle. But you already have people who are, you know, are doing
Are you using my bicycle example?
Because it's not a bicycle even. No, you are advanced.
Yeah,
no, it's just a question of saying, you know, but people can explain it better.
Yeah.
To say maybe it's our immediate need. Is it going to change our inequality?
Mm.
Is it going to change the immediate problems? How much of the investment, how much of the control you have? But I don't really have a problem with us advancing.
Mm.
If you have to say we are getting a bullet train to tomorrow, I will support you as long as that is going to accommodate at least the basic, to accommodate an ordinary person. But if we continue to have this conversation of saying we want to be like Singapore, we want to be like, oh, yes, it's good. But the question is that, how many people are you taking along when you are moving to the next stage?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's high level. This idea is high level.
I just found out that I keep mixing these terms.
Mm.
Digital ID. These are electronic IDs.
Yeah.
I also keep mixing the terms because that's exactly what I said before we went for the break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was also your question.
What we're talking about is electronic IDs in the very same way that we have electronic banking cards.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not 100% digital.
Yeah, I know.
But
your information is already accessible.
It is accessible, but it's just making my head spin in terms of using the terms, and I'm not sure if the terms are interchangeable.
Look, there's one thing that you cannot ignore.
Yeah.
To say we are very far in terms of management of our, I'm not an IT expert, I am not a expert in cyber aspect, but I know we have a very big problem
in terms of cyber. I know we are finding it very difficult in terms of managing our data. Mm-hmm. Some we don't even know how much of data we can debate about. No, it's not, it was not much of a breach, but you know, people are still knocking on the doors of, you know, those institutions. Mm-hmm. Nobody would disagree with you. And it has been proven to say the private sector is far ahead in terms of, either cyber or in terms of, you know, dealing with technology.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, on sal commercial break gevat.
USave's customers love combos, right? Well, for just $589 Namibian, you can get 10 kilogram Champion Super Maize Meal, 10 kilograms of Bokomo Fed Cooked Flour, 10 kilograms of Marathon of Brown or White Sugar, 5 kilos of Nice Rice, plus 1 kilo of Grande Pasta. That's just $589 Namibian for 5 essential products. The ShopRite Group buys bulk, so you can save. Yes, we all save at USave.
Welcome back from that break. So we continue with David.
Yeah, me, I only have a problem when we don't get control of the information that we have, information that we are trying to protect. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at how many press statements CREN has been giving, especially regarding cyber attacks and also the statistic, you're asking yourself a question to say, imagine you are already, and it's not an insult to say you are already at least maybe a quarter naked. Then you are entering in that ground of removing your shirt again. What are you going to be left with? Yeah, but if we have a really a good reason to doing for doing that, I don't have a problem with it. But if we are not able to control what is happening within our world, then I don't think the necessity of it. And also to say, if we look at prioritization, in development, there are prioritization to say, you know, there's something which I respect about our president, what she said, especially when she got into power. She said, no, yes. She told the elders to say, no, I'm not going to add to your social grant as I promised because we are prioritizing young people. That is strategic prioritization. But when you say we are hungry at home and you are buying a Lamborghini, I will not agree with you in terms of that, unless that is a truck. But if you are just, maybe. But it's also a matter of interpretation to say to what extent we understand this. Yeah. And also, how are we involved into this project? And is it really going to change our lives? Yeah. People must speak about these things and openly, because if you want development, sometimes you need to speak the truth in a respectful way. Look at financial inclusion. The report is so beautiful that we are doing very well, but in terms of human lives we are far away, not to say far away, but we did not change a thing. Then you look at why are we doing this thing, why are you investing into this thing, to say to whose benefit? Maybe yes, there are those that can benefit in the future, like what the principal economists have said here, but the question is that are we looking at the immediate needs? Or we are just waiting for 2030, then we will start fighting with each other. To say it's Helmut who was having the tender, is David, where is these things? And things, do you know that a technological intervention has to be tested?
Yeah.
And when it's tested, there are also those challenges that will come in at the first implementation. But are we at the moment of trying to test, or we are really sure that it's going to assist us? But depends on how you interpret it also.
The dimension that, remember yesterday when we had the financial inclusion discussion, where I said literally, I believe financial inclusion should have happened before Bank of Namibia's strategy that we looked at last year. Remember the 10-year strategy book that I sat there thinking, is this not the thing that we dissected last year in 2025?
Yeah. It's part of their targets.
Yeah, that 20, yeah. The 10-year period.
Until 2035, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of their targets. Financial inclusion is just one of their targets. Yeah.
Now, to me, it felt basically, shouldn't we have had the financial inclusion probably first, and then it feeds into the strategy, then the strategy knows. But now the strategy says, have a financial inclusion implementation strategy, and then you go do the financial inclusion assessment, just to go and realize, basically, okay, there were a whole bunch of people that were unemployed in 2017 when it was first assessed. Now you can imagine, now there's more Namibians, who more of them are basically sending the money about. And remittances, yeah, they're wonderful. I mean, Helmut, I proved the point a little bit earlier today. Helmut you know, if he just sends money to his to a brother or sibling, if I give $5 to the street kid, that is financially included. Because you're sharing, you're making the money move.
Yeah.
The downside that points out from this has been, you can see how some of the data sets try to rely on each other.
Yeah.
Because financial inclusion will anyway take place. Like I said, you will anyway do pay to sell banking.
Yeah.
Because it was there before we now have to hear about digital and electronic ID. It was there before. You had this digital profile of yours at your bank. Yeah. It was really there. You have a digital profile of you playing, what's that thing's name? Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I have a digital profile playing whatever I'm playing on Steam. It's already there. But you can see how public services are trying to catch up to digital presences, digital activities, and digital involvements. Now the concern is all about, okay, now do you merge your real-life electronic ID to a digital trading platform? Let's, for example, say you're a gambler. Let's say that the responsible gambling discussion we have.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go to every online betting site. Not to say that the online betting guys, you know, it's bad. Not, I'm not saying that. But just imagine the scenario.
Look, the questions I have are similar to one that you know, David has. It's all about, it's actually two things, service provision and prioritization. So I like the whole fact that the whole, you know, the national identification, you know, call it an upgrade, is being in now service provision or expediting service provision is one of the reasons pointed out that, you know what, it will make service provision faster. But the question is the service being revamped so that it can keep up? Because and that's why I keep using the example of you know, the health example.
Yeah.
Yes, if this ID is going to make it easy for me to have access to health services, will there be enough nurses and doctors to attend to me once I get there fast enough?
No, it's a good question.
No, why are you angry, Alvin?
No, it's a.
I'm just asking
to get to my bad cop
to say, is it going to change my way of life?
Yeah, and you can look, and you can apply that to education. You can apply that to pretty much any service, and that's just a genuine question that at least I have. And the prioritization, the prioritization in terms of financing is, we don't have enough money to go around. That means implementations like this means, you know, an addition to things that we have to go shopping for as a country. Do we have the money?
It's a very good question.
And, you see, I mean, we keep putting, even the financial inclusion discussion we had yesterday with Dwight, we keep putting a cart in front of the horse. This is why silencing...
No, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything that the government... Yeah, I'm going to mention this. The government shows up, the donkey or the horse is literally behind the car. It's pushing the car instead of pulling
the car. But you know, when I look at these things, I think the intention was good. The idea was sold very well.
Your heart is in there?
No. The intention was good. And the idea was sold very well. And maybe it was going well to other countries. You know what is beating us?
Yeah.
We are being beaten by international standard in terms of development. Because what is beating us is human development, because we are at the last part of the whole world when it comes to inequality. Now, when Singapore stand up and say, no, this is what we did. We made sure that everybody is included. We made sure that this is what we did. Then you can say, no, let's go and benchmark. Have you seen our lawmakers went to Singapore and benchmark?
Yeah, we flew to South Korea.
We can come up with the right formula from then. But you know what's going to beat us? It's our condition and standard.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to work out here in Namibia unless you deal with the basics.
So we're basically playing keeping up with the Kardashians.
No, we are keeping up with the Jones.
We're keeping up with the Jones. Dwight, what's that graph that you showed me yesterday, the one of inequality?
It was on the World Bank, where I looked up whether or not we're still number two. And
we're in the red zone.
We are still number two.
You know,
what is going to beat us, is when we fail to deal with the basics. We can speak the beautiful English that you want to speak. We can build better infrastructure. But if you have still somebody who is still thinking now to say, where am I going to get the fat cake? Just to eat. So I can think about tomorrow. Then you already have a problem.
If you sleep. Yeah.
If you have, numbers of people within a town or within the city that are maybe five times than the numbers of houses we are planning to build.
Yeah.
You have a crisis that you need to deal with. But maybe you can go to the, how do you call this, the hierarchies of needs?
Maslow.
Yeah, to say, let's deal with the basics. Let's deal with the basics first.
Which has also been come out debunked. Mm. But it's still something we can use.
Because, as far as I love to be with international standard, if I have to praise the whole village that I do what I do, but my kids are still going hungry, if they are ticking us box at IMF that we have paid the whole loan, they are doing very well in terms of financial action task force, which is good to look at it from that aspect. Mm. We are trying to be in the top list to be accepted by the world. Right. But do we accept ourselves? That is the question that we are asking ourselves, to say, do I accept myself as a Namibian that, regardless of the world moving very fast,
mm-hmm.
let me deal with the population of the young graduates that I have in the street.
Mm.
Regardless of international investor coming with banks full of money, why can I not deal with these people first?
Mm.
The young guys, those who graduated, and also those who are not in school, because then you can also deal with other aspect. But if we are now moving very far, we are not in the same boat. That's why we are always disagreeing. Go to social media, go to Facebook, and you see that Namibians, we are not on the same page.
Mm.
If somebody's already talking about a train that is using green hydrogen, somebody's complaining about water is cut off, we are not on the same page. Or somebody's complaining about university and all these things, refund did not come. Yeah. We are not on the same page. But maybe we are getting there. Maybe if it's explained very well, maybe if there is a strategy, yes. You know one thing, but I'll say this after you come in, especially
David.
Yeah,
here's one problem.
Yeah.
I think what you just pointed out with regards to one person is talking about, you know what, let's have a green hydrogen type of train, for example.
Mm.
And the other one on one side is saying, you know what, I don't have access to clean water.
Mm.
Doesn't this speak to the, to the economic disparity? You have a wide economic, you have a wide economic inequality here, where one person is talking about, first world, like developed world type of modes of transport.
Mm-hmm.
The other one on the other end of the economic spectrum is trying to figure out how to put bread on the table.
Mm.
Not sushi, just basic bread.
This
is speaking to the
one with five days even.
This is speaking and this is bread without any. This is not a sandwich, it's just bread on its own.
Bread.
It's
not a sandwich.
They are not asking for too much. They just want the bare minimum. They are in survival mode. This to me speaks to the economic inequality. Like this is a wide economic inequality that we have.
You know what? In the weekend there was one post which was circulating via WhatsApp. Somebody lost a pet. I don't know if it's something. How do you call that animal?
The dog.
It's a ground. No, it's not a dog. It's something like a ground squirrel.
That was a ground squirrel.
Well, I never heard it as a name. Then he said, "No, this is."
Go back to start the story again.
Yeah, no. Somebody lost a pet. I don't know if it's a ground squirrel. You know those things.
A ground squirrel.
Yeah, and say, "No, this was part of our family. If you get it, we give you 10,000." Now ask yourself a question. Look at financial inclusion. Inclusion report. It will already tell you to say there are people in Namibia that are super, super rich to that extent that
they'll put out wanted posters.
The medical aid of a dog of that person is it's true.
It's
the medical,
true.
Aid of a dog of that person. Yeah. Is beyond.
The dog has a medical aid.
The dog has a medical aid, has a doctor, and has also somebody who has to. You know when you are at the apartment when people are walking dogs.
Yeah.
Because dogs are, dogs are like human beings. If you keep them in the house, they get stressed.
Yeah.
You have somebody to walk you around so that you can deal with your mental health.
Yeah.
But you have a medical aid that is beyond the salary of. 50% of Namibians.
Mm.
That was stated that is below 2,000. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm.
Then it's already telling you to say the basic problem that you have is addressing the basic needs.
Yeah.
Food, water, electricity, and energy. Then we can discuss about the Lamborghini. We can discuss about electronic or digital idea, or wherever you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
But if you bring about new things in Namibia and they are not really helping people to get out of poverty.
Hey, you are hungry, but hey, on the bright side, you have an electronic ID.
It's not going to help you anything.
You can be followed everywhere, don't worry.
It's prioritization. Prioritize what is needed. I know we don't have enough money in the country so far to deal with all the problems. Yeah. But some of the things, they are not necessary to the majority. Cut the things out, give people food, water, sustainable food production, like what is being said. Then we can deal with electronic stuff. We can deal with data centers. But if here we are consulting about the nuclear, then we have a petroleum bill not done in parliament. Now we are here at.
There was a oil related thing that I didn't go to today.
Yeah.
Which.
In some scenario.
Yeah.
You also have to ask, but. Okay. We are not at OPEC yet. Saudi Arabia is a OPEC member. This particular legislation is known as the Riyadh Model Treaty. It's the same thing that I sent you about the nuclear bill.
Yeah.
The model law that you can have
from the
IAEA.
Energy agency.
But the IAEA is a UN agency.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia, OPEC is not a UN agency.
Hang on a second. Isn't Angola an OPEC dropout?
I think Angola left. Did not left.
No, they left last year. Yeah. End of last year. Or start of this year. Angola left OPEC.
Yeah.
Got to ask questions why.
Yeah.
Serious questions why. But what David pointed out to me was, if you use the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's a good thing. It's a good starting point. Which is also the thing that I've been hammering on about. You know, we can improve Namibia's image or way of life. You can improve just way of life if your municipalities or your local authorities actually delivered services. If you, for example, had police presence when you needed police, when you have, not that thing that happened to me last year when I had a choice of three councillors for the local elections and I didn't know, they didn't canvass for anything with me. They didn't. I still don't know what they stood for, but they were there. None of them were my options, but I had to play Inky Pinky Ponky there, Inny Mini Miny Mo. And the dimensions from that has been, what then kind of services will I then expect from such decisions? But let's also cascade things in a different direction because I still want to get to my venting stage, Helmut.
How much time?
Yeah. It's the adequate stage.
28 minutes.
Okay. So when that engagement took place about the electronic IDs, guys?
Yeah.
We have two massive cavities in Namibia's legislation that are still missing. No data protection law, no cybersecurity law.
But we are going to roll out something that will need those laws by September.
As the fundamentals.
Again, hence my example of a cart in front of the horse.
No. The cart exists. There is no horse.
Look, this is
There's
why.
Nothing to push the cart.
Look, man, this is why silencing of the guns fell on its face.
Yeah, because the guy is thinking about stop the bullets there, but the other one who's selling the guns here is saying yes, no, sell the guns.
No, look, there's one thing that I like. Let me just say there are three things that I like about not Namibia, Africa. One. Our English is top-notch, guys.
Yeah.
Our English is top-notch. Two, when it comes to planning, we are very good at planning. It's the financing the plan that we have a problem with. If you ever go on chilling, we are those people that will dress very smacking, spanking model type and go out to chill hoping to get drunk on someone else's budget.
Yeah.
That's us.
So we know how to show up.
Yeah, we know how to show up. We know how to make the plans.
But I also started realizing that we must also poke questions on the plan too. Because if you are telling somebody that you have a plan, there must be some element of you knowing how to implement that. Maybe we should also look at the way we also plan, because in the nature of strategic planning is that whatever you put on a paper is how you want to get where you want to get into. But situation will always determine where you are going to end up. To say you want to go to Oshakati from here and you are driving a Porsche, for example, or you are driving a Benz, You're driving
one. Porsche is actually affordable, guys.
Yeah, you are driving 180, but you find a lot of things on the way.
Yeah,
it can break. Something happen. Then you take a plane. It did not work out. Maybe you reach there with a train, but what you did is that you achieve what you wanted to achieve.
Yeah,
that's why I don't know. Maybe we follow the plane literally, then we got surprised by the world. That's why when I attend any engagement, I always ask myself to say, do we really want to tell people that we just have a reason, an external reason for not doing our thing?
Mm.
To say just because of war, just because of COVID, just because of global financial market, are we really want to tell people that we don't hold ourselves accountable to say there's something that we did not do well? And even this thing of we want Namibia to be the first. Sometimes you can be the first in coming up with something, but it's not working for you. You know a country that I'm jealous of, and I'm not talking it in terms of really being jealous, but just a country that surprised me is Zimbabwe. Apart from Zimbabwe politics of governance and who's to stay in power for a long time, what they did with their value addition. Look at the numbers now. Look at what they are doing with lithium. They are now saying by 2027, total ban of lithium. They are now moving to coming up with batteries, rechargeable batteries from lithium. And to me, I say Nagangwa must get an award, not only in terms of extending that, but I think maybe he's a good guy. Maybe he's driving Zimbabwe to a certain direction.
No, then he should get a Nobel, Peace Prize on economics.
We can leave this politics off to say, because I still want to see a Western country thanking Zimbabwe for value addition on its lithium.
No.
I still want to see an international institution such as IMF or World Bank to say no. Let's give Zimbabwe something because they are doing something. Because to them, that is creation of employment.
Yes, it is.
And it's being industrialized.
That's actually, do you know what they're actually doing?
Yeah.
And the reason why
and
I
it's
said,
working.
Do you know, and the reason why I said they won't, and I know you know also, Helmut also knows,
is but maybe they will.
It's primarily because of the British.
Yeah.
The British still have a bone of contention with Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is still the only sanctioned country, which technically feeds into the discussion of the other day when I went to the SDC of AU, when the guy from the AU went and said, we've got 7 members that are sanctioned. I was like, 7?
Yeah.
On the continent? Mm. Out of the 55?
Yeah.
Which they only meant that they only had 48 members left to do their, start their processes.
Yeah.
So from that scenario, you can immediately see that a Commonwealth scenario, a global discussion, and a UN discussion won't acknowledge Zimbabwe on that.
You know,
which does sort of like expose that colonial tethers that the UK still has with Southern Africa and still with Zimbabwe. So, yeah, it's one of those dimensions.
No, Zimbabwe is doing very well because I think there's always something that I'm saying to say you rather learn from pain or wisdom. Because if we did not learn from wisdom, we did not learn from others, pain would teach us something. You know, 20 years of sanction of Zimbabwe since early 2000, after, you know, the veterans started taking out the land, which was actually a wrong move. But after 20 years of sanction, Zimbabwe started realizing that we are not going to die. Apart from everybody, because the first person to jump into the plane is the intellectual. All the doctors, they ran to America, they went to UK, they went to some become, you know, they become lecturers and professors all around the continent. But there are also those who left. Whatever happened in politics is something else, but they realized to say there is no one who can come and assist you unless yourself. That's why I think Nangawa is a very careful guy. He has been avoiding a lot of trips all around the world. But one thing about him is that when you are driving that direction, I think that is something that even if they are not going to get fruits now, in 10 years, ask yourself, where is Zimbabwe going to be if this project is sustained? Then you also ask yourself a question to say, how come somebody who has been sleeping for 20 years while we have been awake come and overtake you? We are just 3 million Zimbabweans. How many are they? There are more than 20 million people.
And a country smaller than us.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, if we don't do well with what we put on now, after 15 years, the real result will come out. Because I can defend my plan, what I want, and I can reason. Mm. But he still remember us to say Namibia has been in a lot of discussion over the past this years, but is still here. Because if Zimbabwe come from far and overtaking us, that is really something that I wanted to bet on, to say we're supposed to change these things already. Because how many countries do we have in the world? And you really want
almost
to say 200. You really want to say that
no, it's more than 200.
It's more than, if you count
apartheid, South Africa
disputed ones,
was the most painful you know, colonialism in the whole world.
Mm.
You really want to tell me that? I will not agree with you. And it was the most painful, because we always know if you are colonized by the French, you are even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
but for some reason, yeah, the British just are stable.
No,
think of British countries.
No, yeah. No, when it comes to initiatives like the one that Zimbabwe is implementing with regards to lithium, you have to ask yourself one question.
Mm.
That, okay, this is, you know, he's talking about processing lithium at home, and, and that's part of the value addition.
Mm.
And he wants to push that, yeah, Zimbabwe wants to push that from, you know, just from processing lithium at home to building batteries. So you can see that it's a ladder being climbed of industrialization here. Now, which is a good thing. But in terms of who is going to be happy and who is not going to be happy, you have to look at whose supply chain, you know, what's that doing to whose supply chain? And you'll understand that. If you, you know, if you were a Western company, for example, and you got your lithium from Zimbabwe, and you had the leader say that, you would definitely not be happy. And we saw that, and we saw this with, was that, you know, in the, who's Maduro's predecessor? You know, keep forgetting that guy. Now, the thing is...
Not Ungoni.
It was Hugo Chavez, yeah. Thank you. It was, you know, when Hugo Chavez, you know, nationalized Venezuela's oil, that impacted a large part of American oil private sector. They were definitely not happy. But they ended up suing the heck out of each other. So, when it comes to, you know, to resources, forget the politics. Look at the money. Whose supply chain are you impacting? Because believe me, those guys are not going to be happy.
And you know, they may also come and pick you up like they did to Maduro.
But you know
one thing that I went to attend this Namibia economic what is it? Is it guide?
Was a guide?
Yeah, Robin Chevron. No, it's a very interesting guy, especially when it's coming to economic discussion. But apart from looking at Namibia trade with other countries, one of the things that I really think stood out is that playing with the big boys.
That's Namibia now.
Yeah, Namibia playing with the big boys, particularly in terms of trade. He gave a comparison in terms of governance and also in terms of economic affairs.
Mm.
But in my observation, and maybe the observation of many other people, is that not only Namibia, many African countries, they become a battleground of superpowers.
Yeah.
Because colonialism now, they don't come with AK-47, Assad rifle, or the bazooka. Now they use economic tools.
Yeah.
And you become a battleground. But any economist that you see, and this is not something that is to say, any economist that you see depends on the school of thought that he's talking about. This thing is always coming out.
Yeah.
But you can also be able to see which side he is more leaning on. But because we are human beings, we have our own views. Mm-hmm. To say, maybe it's better to do with this. But what is also very interesting about Namibian foreign policy is that you guys are all our friends. As long as you are not in conflict with our interest. But one thing is that to say, these countries have this GDP. This country have this GDP. Also give an example, South Africa. This country are number one and two in the world, but Namibia is here.
Mm.
And looking into the future, are we going to win that game? And how should we navigate through? Because we are working on ice. How can we navigate through that? Because value addition, there is no, and this is very clear, there is nobody who want, who will push you to do value addition. When an AI company come to Namibia, for example, when an electronic company come to Namibia, they want to create a space so that you can continue buying their product. They will not come here to say, no, we want to manufacture computers here. We want to manufacture these cell phones here. Mm. It's up to you to push it. That's why Zimbabwe push it. And ask yourself with this electronic ID, for example, to say, in terms of Namibian workforce or Namibian skill set, how many of Namibians will be able maybe to benefit from this project, particularly in implementing it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whose system are you going to use? Or is just something that you're still going to look at?
You just keep importing if it's an importing.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a very interesting conversation because the next 10 years is going to be very interesting.
Mm. Oh,
it's going to be very interesting because things will come on the table.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99. Get 2 kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99. Get 750 mm Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99. You Save. Where else? Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99. Get 2 kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99. Get 750 mm Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99. You Save. Where else?
Welcome back. 14 minutes left to the hour of 7, and the break snuck up on us while David was making his point. David, on a mic set ready?
Han. Oh, Han. Yeah, I'm just saying in the next 10 years, it's going to be very interesting. That especially looking at what we plan. And it's also going to be interesting to say, because sometimes yes, it's good to give a person time to implement. Yeah. It's good to let the minister implement.
Yeah.
It's good to get to let the financial institution to implement this strategy. It's also not good to disturb sometimes. But when you see that you are already 80% into the thing, then you can stand up and say, no, at least change this direction. Things are not working. We can go back to the basics to say, did we address our basics or we are going to address our basics, you know, when we reach a certain level?
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with the discussion of an airline. Did we die when we did not have an airline rather than when we had it, yeah, when it was milking us? Or now, is it going to be profitable? Or is it just going to be another trial that we are going to put into? Those are things that we need to put, because we are not at the time of experimenting anymore.
Yeah.
We have experimented for 30 years. Maybe this is a time for real
implementation,
real development. We have tried, we lost. We tried, we had white elephant projects, we have learned.
Mm.
We have been exporting raw, then we are at the point where we are saying, no, let us do this.
Mm.
And we can't anymore leave a lot of people behind, because if you leave them, they might not come back.
Mm.
Because you know how the society is operating, especially when you are in a sector of inequality.
Yeah.
If you continue expanding, because financial circulation is not going to stop.
Mm.
Money is still going to continue circulating among the few. And when it's continue circulating among the few, they become more richer and they leave a lot of people behind.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be very difficult now convincing the majority of those who are living in inequality to come on board. That's why we should really expand this discussion to say, are we done with the basics? And if that, maybe somebody can also
successfully done with the basics. Yeah.
Maybe somebody can also convince me to say, what is this electronic going to change? How is it going to change my life? Is it going to change my life? How?
Just means basically you there'll be more data collection about you and more surveillance about you. That's all.
The thing about surveillance, look, one thing that you need to know is that the world has moved very fast to that extent that nobody can hide anymore.
Yeah,
you cannot hide anymore. And you can also not say people should not look at me. That is a reality of life to say the world have much advanced. But other than that, what other things can it really assist? Because we have basic painful needs that every politician knows, every councillor knows, every parent knows. You know, when you I have experienced this with my parents, for example, when you graduate and you are not working, people ask you difficult questions to say right. No, but why? I said no, I did my best. People ask you to say no, why? You went to school, you get a degree.
They spend then you are, money on the degree.
Then you are at home for a year or 2 years. Then people ask you. It's like you killed the person. But I said, no, I did my best. But when I went to school, I also learned that the system is not that correct. I think I should explain this to say, I'm not at the time where you were.
Yeah.
And let us look at what need to be done so that we can move forward. And also to say, let us look at the basics. Now then they understand. But this will already tell you to say inequality that you have seen and you have experienced is going to be very painful. Especially if you want your kids to go through the same thing.
Yeah.
There are information which are coming out to say young professionals, they don't want kids anymore. Why? Because they are also kids.
Yeah.
You can be a kid at the age of 45 or at the age of 50. Based on the economic situation, where you are in.
Exactly, yeah. Economics.
You find grandfathers who are still kids. Adults who are still kids. In that context, because nobody, you fail to even sustain yourself.
Yeah. And you're thinking, okay.
Yeah.
I can't sustain me.
Yeah.
And, now what am I going to do with the whole family?
No, even the relationship now is a strategic economic alliance. There's no more pure relationship out of love. There are those maybe who are in love, but you must be in love on top of that. There must be something.
That whole love thing is the only thing, is the thing that made me hate rich people. You know that, you know how conniving and very sleek rich people are? They spend the whole history of rich people marrying for money.
Yeah.
And they'll be using, for money and power.
Yeah.
And they're using a lot of that money that they have acquired to produce movies, books, and songs about marrying for love, which we all have fallen for. Which really sucks because, in the world of, but why is First World War known as a, more often referred to as a family affair? Because by the time that World War I started, the Tsar of Russia, the Kaiser of Germany, and is it the king of, the British royal family. They're relatives thanks to Queen Victoria. So a family affair gone wrong. So if you look at the history of the history of monarchies, the monarchs, these guys have been literally been marrying for money and power.
Yeah, that's why
to cement political relationships. That's it, and that comes with a lot of money. And they spend billions of dollars to produce movies like 50 Shades of Grey. Let's face it, if that guy was broke, that movie would have been a domestic violence case. But the guy is rich, and for some reason. It's romantic.
If that movie was Namibian,
it
would have been a GB, it would have been a GBV scenario.
It would have been a GBV. Look, the thing is the difference between, the difference between, flirting and, weirdo is, you have money.
Real sadomasochism.
Yeah. If you showed up on a bicycle, you are a stalker. But if you step out of a Lambo,
Was you in the Lambo? The whole discussion.
It's where he want to get into. It's a good thing.
On Namibian roads.
I mean,
with a Lambo.
That's a terrible idea. With a speed hand in the highway.
But where are you going to drive it in Africa if you have the best roads in Africa?
Just in South Africa. That Lambo will stand right there. Yeah. You are looking at that Lambo.
But the other thing that you need to look at also is also that. I always have arguments with, especially my friends who support, you know, these revolutionary feminist ideologies,
mm.
especially want to transform the society in terms of how you should behave and or do all these things and all these social ills that we find out. One thing that I always disagree with them is the economic impact on social lives, especially you look at the relationship that we are into now.
Yeah.
You look at, you know, these issues of gender-based violence and other things.
Mm-hmm.
You find somebody who is an expert in gender discussing about, no, let us start with this project of upgrading the boy child and all these things, which is quite a very good thing. But what is the root cause?
Yeah.
What is the root cause of an absent father? It can be an economic situation.
Yeah.
Why? What is the root cause of some?
Maybe the father is not upset. The father is in jail. Why the father went to jail?
And you know what's my favorite part?
Yeah.
Look, man. I'm gathering my political correctness.
Yeah.
Look,
you never get it in this kind of way.
Look, thing is, addressing a root cause of problems is a very difficult thing to talk about, let alone to do.
Yeah.
Which is why some of the biggest critics, even medical professionals of modern medicines, is that we have a lot of this, we have a lot of these sicknesses because we are busy, pouring billions into researching how to solve the symptoms, instead of addressing the root cause.
You are correct because the root, if you address the root cause, if you sort out the basics, if every child in Namibia go have a 3-day meal, if every child, in Namibia can go to basic schools, not an advanced school. If there is a relationship between high institution and the industry, if there is a guarantee that, then other things will just fall into places. But we are now running a race where other people are still not even standing. Because if we deal with the basic, not to say, and also one thing is that if you want to come out of this inequality thing, we must also look at citizens themselves, the aspect of laziness, because being also on social ground for a very long time also made us expecting everything from government. Even issue of patriotism to say if there is an economic project, how many citizens can volunteer and do that? Then we can meet each other here. Because those things must also be put in. On top of addressing the basics. Otherwise, we are going to have another conference next year about how to deal with, how to diagnose this problem. And also, we are going to conduct a lot of studies.
You're already calling out the conferences?
No, I'm going to attend anyway. If there's something like that to say, what is new? Because the question is always to say, what is new? What is new?
So, it, 3 minutes left to the hour of 7. So, it's signing out time, gentlemen.
Yeah.
So, electronic IDs.
3 minutes.
Yeah, with me, I don't have a problem with a new innovation in terms of technology. Yeah. I only have a problem with.
But is it an innovation?
No.
To us.
Yeah, I only have a problem with leaving a lot of people behind.
Yeah.
And what is a person who is at a rural area going to benefit from that? If there is a justification, let us all have it.
Yeah.
But if there is no justification, why do we prioritize the unprioritized? Why can't we channel the money somewhere else? Because anything that you do is costly. Do you know that people don't even read to say even a consultation meeting is a costly thing?
Yeah.
People do not know that. People do not know that even a document that you see is a costly thing. Document that reports that you see is not just the things that put together. But trying something, a national project, maybe the study was conducted. Maybe there are good reason for that. But if it's really to feed another person who is not in my country, to me, I'm not supporting it. But let's see. Those who have more knowledge, maybe those who are in that field, maybe they are going to explain to us on how to utilize it.
No, the explaining part, they have failed, you know, with the crawling colors already. Because that's why I kept asking that, if you are selling, if the reason why you are saying, this is necessary is to give people access to services, the question is, have you sorted out the services?
And I can tell you, in most towns,
no.
No.
That is the problem. So you are just, fast tracking the ability for people to get access to the services that are not there.
Yeah. Just to bring them, and then they tell you, your nurses go on lunch during 1 and 2.
But thank you. You got here on time. We have your information on time, and everything is sorted. Just
please sit here waiting during the 1 hour.
Yeah. So, Onsal, more cake.
All right. See you. See you around. See you tomorrow.
And on my side, guys, stay tuned for the next program. CJ, see you again tomorrow, same time, same place, up until 7 o'clock, as we always do, here on Eagle FM.
Chef.